Hold on.
Hi there.
The computer ain't
Everything's
working.
Fine.
The computer ain't working just yet.
Huh.
Give me a second.
Now, I just got done with the meeting with the guys.
Uh-huh. Everything was very peaceful, and it's going to maintain its peacefulness.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So if I hit this, I don't hear anything.
Make the voices stop going in my head.
It's working great, Beef.
It's on. Oh, it's fader 4.
Fader 4.
Ah. Mine
was okay, right.
You and God bless.
That's only in one channel, though.
Really?
Yes. Really?
Let's mono it out.
Oh, that's great. So your stereo light will go on, yet it will still be in mono.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Okay. Now the contest thing.
Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 249, Washington, D.C., 2007.
Uh-huh.
Thank you, and God bless.
Uh-huh.
Hey, everybody loves Don and Mike.
Okay, hi.
We're fine.
That was all just done with computer touchscreens.
No. Yeah. There were no, like, tapes or anything?
There were no tapes. Here's the message.
It was all digital?
Here's the message for you young broadcasters out there. And as a matter of fact, you know, no matter what field you're in, whether you're digging ditches, selling shoes, hawking groceries, selling hot stuff out of the back of your car.
Hot stuff like
VCRs.
Oh, I was thinking food. No.
Or I'm thinking of our friend Dexter Manley, who quite often would buy his wife jewelry and fur coats out of the trunk of
cigarettes,
cars. Yes,
all sorts of swag.
No matter what it is that you're doing, if whatever you've chosen to do in life. Oh, and listen, if you enjoy what you do, you'll never work a day in your life.
There you go. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm talking about.
Problems are fixed when you make a big, hairy stink.
Mm-hmm. It's always worked.
And yesterday, boy, oh boy, did I make a big, hairy stink.
Were they paying attention to you today?
I don't mean the kind of big, hairy stink that I always make that you don't hear on the radio, they just smell it here. I mean, it was yelling and it was screaming. And look what happened. In less than 24 hours, all of a sudden, the computer yesterday that didn't work seems to be working.
Huh. Under my CDG.
What's CDG?
My can-do guy.
And you're my GB.
With the
golden boy.
I am the golden boy.
Golden
yes.
boy.
Much laughter when I simply requested a reclining chair. I don't understand that.
So, listen, this would be day number two of the computer takeover of the Don and Mike Show, and I think we're ready to be assimilated, much like humanoids and the Borg taking over.
Mm-hmm.
I believe we're finally ready to be assimilated.
Are you ready, Neo?
There are still many, many, many screens and keyboards
yes.
that have to be destroyed.
I am the Oracle.
They have to be put to sleep.
The Oracle needs a
chair.
It does not appear from my side that there has been much change.
No, there has been no change at all, except
there is still the junkyard in here.
Except they did get this computer screen right here to work, so when I press a button with the touch screen, it'll say, watch this, it'll be the guy from Everybody Loves Raymond.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Uh-huh.
Is that kind of fun?
Yeah, see, no need to put a tape in or anything.
Kind of fun to just hit that, and can you hit it again and it'll do the same thing?
Sure.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
You bet.
And you don't hear that pesky...
That's right. Well, hold on a second. This, now the other machine is busted.
Well, that's always busted. You don't need that anymore, right?
Oh, yes, we do.
Yes, we do.
You bet your ass we do. That's where that is.
Nah.
See, I got...
Well, that's not busted anymore.
Over on this side...
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Yeah, that one... And on this side, you got that one. And eventually, all of the stuff that's in this one on this side will be in this one on this side.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Well, what are you going to do with your right hand, then?
what I always do with my right hand. What I always do. So here we are. Hi, welcome to the show. My name, of course, is Jerry Todd.
Oh, hi, Jerry.
And here's my friend Milburn Drysdale.
Hello there, my name is Milburn Drysdale, and I'm all very excited about money.
What is the slogan for Dairy Council ad farmers that features hot-looking moms?
What?
Got MILF? These are groaners.
Mm-hmm. They are groaners.
I guess I gotta go to the groaner of voice.
Thanks for letting us know that they're groaners.
What's the name of the Michael Moore film about Condoleezza Rice?
What?
Glarentine 9/11. I guess because she's...
I totally don't get it.
No.
Glare. She's shiny. You ever seen her on TV?
Or does she glare at people? I don't know.
I don't know. I saw her on TV one time.
That is a horrible joke. Poorly constructed
it's
joke.
It's a groaner. Yeah. I saw one time on one of those shows, they had, who's the bald guy that's married to the ugly woman? The guy that was with Clinton. Oh, Carvel.
Yeah, James Carvel.
Now,
when you're referring to James Carvel, don't say the ugly guy. You say, who's the alien-looking guy?
That
is how you will always get Carvel.
So it was him and Condoleezza Rice. They were on with the big fat guy, and we all know that's Tim Russert.
Tim Russert, yes.
And both of them, you know, first off, the alien guy, his head, like the lights are shining on his head.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that during the commercials on Meet the Press, they were coming over and powdering him down. Same with Condoleezza Rice.
Mm-hmm. My mom is so
except
cute.
She's not bald.
You know, my mom is so sweet. She really is.
You
she's 84.
She
she's 84 years old. You know, she gave me for my birthday.
What?
She gave me that book, that Tim Russert book. Big Russ and
yes.
Me. Have you seen that in the bookstores yet?
Have I?
And she gave it to me because it's like an older guy and his dad, and my dad's not around anymore, you know.
Right.
And I read a few pages of it, and it was, you know, when it's sicky sweet, sentimental,
uh-huh.
You know, and it's just, Tim Russert creeps me out for some reason. But I didn't have the heart to tell my mom that.
You know who Tim Russert creeps out with? His dry cleaner. I'd like to get that bag. He comes in with that satchel over his shoulder once a week. How you doing?
It looks like his election night whiteboard when he goes to the dry cleaner.
One more groaner.
Yes.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi there.
I'm Jared Todd.
And this is Melvin Drysdale.
What old school TV host has told people recently he's had strange sexual fetishes?
Who?
Perv Griffin.
That's just totally, like, pulled out of nowhere.
I know.
Jerry Todd.
Except I believe that there was an article somewhere where Merv Griffin said that he has had a wild, you know, shocker, he's had some type of a wild sexual past.
And, of course, Merv was the, you know, number one celebrity pallbearer for Ronald Reagan.
That's right.
Jerry Todd.
Isn't there some legend about him and Denny Terrio?
Denny Terrio. It's not a legend. It's a true story.
That's right. That's how Denny Terrio got the job on Dance Fever. He slept with Merv Griffin.
I'm not sure if the story goes exactly like
that's
that.
That's what Jerry Todd told me.
Jerry Todd.
Right. Hey now.
Are you ready?
There you go. Oh, gosh. I got to find the thing. Where's the thing that says everybody call now? Oh, we didn't load that one in the machine?
No.
Oops. Too bad.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-265-3636. They're ready to believe.
Right? There you go, and there's that. And we got these guys on computer now here. They made it to the computer.
Yeah.
Kill them. Why did they make it into the computer?
They made it all the way to the
computer. Oh, turn that down.
It's a true story. He was a neo-Nazi. One true enemy. Himself. A man of faith. A man of hate. And a soul torn apart. Viewer discretion advised.
I was talking to my guys today.
What they have to say?
They said if they had this kind of digital technology back in the old country, forget about it.
Forget about it.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Digital and all the ships at sea. Here to discuss. How am I doing? The problems with girls is Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hi, hello, and thank you for listening, everybody. Don and Mike Show, a new episode on this Thursday, 07-08-04.
Hi, Don and Mike. Buzz Burbank here.
Howdy, Buzz. Yeah, there you go. Tight, bright, out of sight.
Mm-hmm.
That's tighter than a nun right there.
There you go.
There you go. Thank you, computer. Don and Mike Show, 07-08-20-04. Call us from anywhere in America.
Boy.
What?
It's just great in here today. I feel like it's a new day.
877-365-3636. That's the toll-free number.
You know, I feel like it's a new day other than the fact that I just interrupted you.
From Canada? Well, no, then it's like every day. And it's definitely vice versa.
Yeah, I know.
From Canada, 800-636-1067, and Washington, D.C. on WJFK FM. You can call us at 202-432-1067.
Hello, Tampa.
So, boy, am I glad to get yesterday's show out of my system.
Sure.
Because, you know, it was just yelling and screaming, and then got home last night and fired off a bunch of emails to a bunch of the dopes that run this place.
Mm-hmm.
And surprisingly, Well, first off, surprisingly, they have motor skills. They can write back.
Right.
And they didn't write back, you know, go to hell, jerk face.
Mm. They actually responded positively.
They wrote back. Here is the general response that I got. This is the first that we've heard of any problems in the studio when we heard you screaming today.
Well, that's probably true.
So then I was on the phone again.
I should say, that's probably true.
Michael Hughes. I'm on the phone again today with these guys, and they're working out some of the technical snafus that we had yesterday.
We'll get it done.
It's water under the bridge stuff they should have thought of before yesterday, but they got it done for today, and it's enough to let us slide through today. However, the Don and Mike tip of the cap goes to Yalen. Yalen Linewan.
Hi, this is Yalen Linewan.
Yalen. So he calls me, 8:30 this morning, starting his spin control.
Mm-hmm.
What's happening? Was there a problem in the studio yesterday? Is there a problem with the computer? What's happening? So we go through all of this, and I'm talking to the engineers, and I'm talking to Beth Ann, who incidentally is doing a super job.
Yes, yeah. And she said that to me when I came in today. She said, you're doing a great job.
And then in typical Yalen fashion,
Yalen,
he said, let's have a meeting today before the show. Be in the studio.
No!
And you can tell us where you'd like these touch screens to be.
Excellent.
And you can tell us what we can get rid of and what we can do to make this better. And I said, fantastic. I'll be here with bells on.
Yeah.
And I was here. And I had bells on. I had bells attached to every orifice.
You were ready to go.
And at about 2:20, meeting was supposed to be at 2:15 at the latest.
2:15.
At about you, Yunny.
Yeah.
Phone rings. Sit up in the office with Rob and VA, and I said, it's Yalen. And of course, there he was. Hi, Don. It's Yalen. Where are you? Oh, hi, Mike.
I was there, too. I like to give credit when I arrived at 16 minutes after 2 o'clock.
Thank
today.
You, Mike. Oh. I forgot that, but thank you for arriving early
just
today.
Just wanted to point that out there. I was there, too.
You were a man who was there.
I was in the room.
Sorry, I forgot that.
That's okay. Thanks, you can go on now.
Anyway, the call from Alan was, hi, where are you? And I said, I'm here, ready for the meeting. I am just leaving the meeting now. I will be there momentarily.
Yeah, and he was in Tyson's Corner, and I know for the rest of the
round. 20 minutes away.
It's 20 minutes away. Yeah.
20 minutes away. So we started the meeting without him, with the guy from the engineering place. And, well, everything seems to be okay, so let's just move on with the friggin' show,
very
okay?
Good. It's going to revolutionize the way people listen to this show.
That's very, very exciting.
It is.
Hello, let's start with a phone call. Mike, you mentioned Tampa.
Yeah.
We're back in Tampa, Florida. Here's Kevin from Tampa. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Hey, and listen, so many things. You know, with all the technical problems yesterday, mm-hmm. we didn't really welcome back Tampa. And
not properly.
And from what I understand, the great majority of people in Tampa Bay, well, first of all, never knew that we were there 5 years ago.
They didn't know we were there when we were there, and they don't know that we're there now.
Yeah, and frankly, all you know is all that I've told you.
And I really wish that they'd maybe make a bigger go of it this time around.
Yeah. But without quoting, do we still have that Reagan tape, that thing that all you know is what I told you?
You know, for quite some long time, all I've known is what you've told me, or something like that. Yeah.
Well, that's close enough. Don't bother looking for the tape now.
I already got it.
Oh, you got it? Okay.
It was in the dead cart
room. And now, this is for all you junior politicians out there. I would recommend that if you're ever going to address the media, mm-hmm. and you're asked a question that you don't know the answer to, answer it like the late Ronald Reagan.
I don't know. I only know that that's why I have said repeatedly that I want to find out. I want to get to the bottom of this and find out all that has happened.
Uh-huh.
And so far, I've told you all that I know. And you know, the truth of the matter is,
what's
for
that?
Quite some long time, all that you knew was what I told you.
Good. And then they go, thank you, Mr. President.
And they all walk out shaking their heads, and he's done.
Yeah,
Mr. President!
Mr. President!
There's four dead people at my ranch!
Speaking of aliens.
Yeah, right.
Roswell.
Anyway, welcome, Tampa. And if you remember the phone number from before when we were on in Tampa, it's changed. It's 877-365-3636.
I think with all of our energy yesterday, we were unable to really even give a clear message to Tampa that we'd like them to call and then give them the phone number like you just did.
And also, you should know, let me see, gosh, my kid, the last time you heard my kid, I think he was like in 8th or 9th grade. Now he's getting ready for his sophomore year at college.
Mm-hmm. I during that time that we've been off in Tampa, have fully come out of the closet, and I am gay, and I feel free that I'm able to, you know, let people know that, and
come on.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Well, no, you want the truth? The truth's not that funny.
Well, no, the truth isn't funny, but the truth is the truth.
What, that I've gone through another marriage?
Yeah, but not that.
What?
You're dating you should at least tell them.
But what are we doing here? Are we giving history or are we giving like recent updates?
Well, for the people.
Is this a recent update?
For the people in Tampa, with your personal life, it would be both. All they need to know is that Mike is dating a very nice woman named Carla. Mm-hmm. We're all very fond of her. And her mom is younger than Mike.
Yeah, by 2 or 3 years.
Wow. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, we took Carla's mom out on the boat over the weekend, and I think at one point after it got a little festive, I'm on this boat with two lovely women, and they're both younger than I am. And it was fortunately the joke was well received.
Everyone laughed.
It was funny.
Rob Spiewak has two kids now, Julia and Robert, and there's really nothing to report on Buzz except
that we can say on the air
something that happened about a month ago where there was a little domestic disturbance. Buzz pushed his wife off a ladder and she broke her arm.
She's healing. It's all fine now.
But like OJ, he's out every day looking for the pushers.
He is indeed. I'll find him. He had nothing to do with it.
He is. Anyway, here you go, Kevin in Tampa. Hi there.
Hey, how y'all doing today? It's glad to have y'all back. Let me tell you,
we're glad to be back.
Hey, y'all still do the Elvis shows?
Yes, we do. The Elvis is Dead
show.
Oh,
my Peter.
Oh, my Peter. Yeah. Except.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got to know. Well, never mind. You'll figure it out as we go. I was going to tell you about the nutty FCC.
New standards.
And some things that have changed.
Oh,
we really
can't say that anymore?
You can say it a little bit.
Do you know that August 16th will mark year 27 of a great man's passing?
It'll be the 27th year that we've been without Elvis?
Yeah. August 16th, so look for a good show.
All right, Kevin, thank you for checking in.
Hey, no problem.
Spread the word.
All right, here's another guy from Tampa, Mike. It's Jonathan.
Hey, guys, how are you guys doing?
Hey, my friend, we're doing great, thank you.
Good. Man, it's been a long time since I've heard you, since Jeff Ryan didn't do anything when you guys were down here the first time. I'm glad that you're back on the air. I listened all day yesterday, tried to get through, and I couldn't get through, but I listened to you on 106.7 in Washington, D.C.
Oh, right on. Well, it's great to be on in Tampa. Thank you for the call, my friend.
All right.
That's the amazing Jonathan.
Much appreciated. And his Technicolor dream coat.
Have you seen the amazing Jonathan?
Have I?
You know, out in Las Vegas?
Yeah, I know.
Those billboards are everywhere.
There are as many for the amazing Jonathan as there are for Danny Gans. Danny Gans. What a load that guy is. So anyway, I had mentioned my kid, who is 19 and going on 13. And here's his latest.
What's he doing now?
He has gotten in a bit of a snit with his driver's license. One of those things
happens.
Points something. Yeah. It's in the genes for me. And the deal is he has to go to a driver improvement course.
I believe you've got at least two people in this room that have taken that course.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Count me in.
And raise your hand.
You too, Buzz? Oh, a couple times.
Raise your hand if you've taken it at least twice. My hand's up.
I don't think I have.
I've taken it at least twice.
I might have to soon.
Listen to this. This is one thing that Frieda and I have been just on his ass about nearly every day. You know, if you don't go to this driver improvement class, when you go back to college next month, you're not going to be taking a car because you can't drive if your license is going to be suspended.
Ouch.
And he has been procrastinating and putting it off and putting it off. However, how about that boy of mine? He's figured out a way around this, and this might be helpful for any of you out there that have to go to one of those dumb classes. You can do it online.
No. Really?
Yes, you can, and listen to this. It's an 8-hour class.
Right.
You can break it up into 30-minute segments. So if you wanted to just sit down for a half hour and do the driver improvement and then come back a half hour later and do it, here's the only catch. The only time you have to leave your house, and even this is better than going to DMV, you go to Office Depot with the forms that you've filled out already online, and they give you the written test at Office Depot, so you don't even have to go to DMV now.
The whole point was that you sit in the class.
Listen, I'm telling you, this is what...
You can get around that?
This is great.
Wow.
Let me give him a call.
Because
he was...
I'm dumbstruck.
He was out of his mind about this today.
Sure.
Because this was something, before Frieda left to go to work this morning, she put a gigantic note up on his mirror in his bathroom.
Hello.
Hey, hola.
Hey, how are you?
We're doing great. Listen, tell everybody, this is a good tip that you found out about that driver improvement thing you have to go to. You do it on the web, right?
for Virginia, Virginia has like one company that they let do it, and you have to spend 7.5 hours like total doing it, and then for the final you go to CompUSA.
Ah, CompUSA, it's at Office Depot. Okay. But either way,
How do they know if you're doing it online? How do they know that you're logging the time with it?
Because while you're at the test, like it's a timer. I guess in theory I could walk away. But I think it has like activities I have to be doing.
You mean for the time that you're supposed to be on the computer?
Oh, so you have to actually be interactive during the time that you're online. But it's still convenient. You can do that in your bedroom, right?
You can do it while you're watching TV, having a drink. You don't have to drive somewhere and sit in a room with a bunch of other people for 8 hours.
You can break it up. Like if I wanted to, I could do an hour each night for the next week.
And let me see. It's about a month and 2 weeks till you go back to college, right?
Yeah.
I would imagine that you will probably end up doing about a half hour a week until it's the day before you have to go back to college.
Well, it seems like a good plan, doesn't it?
Listen, like I told you, whatever it is, as long as it's
done. And here's the deal. I don't think that's a bad. I really don't think it's a scam. I think it's a pretty efficient way, especially with traffic the way it is around here, because if they are giving you the interaction, you're probably even more active than if you were sitting in the class.
Here's the thing. I was happy to hear it. Yeah. And I was happy for Bart that he discovered this. But it got me mad because I thought, I haven't been to one like in 4 years, but I know that 8 hours on that Saturday that I had to go down to Old Town and do that.
I remember mine. It was horrible.
It's
the
worst. I would much rather sit upstairs. And not to mention, if you're online doing this thing, who's to say that you couldn't like be looking at ESPN.com or even better, just watching TV while you're doing it.
But, Bart, have you done it yet? Have you been on there yet?
No, not yet.
I'd love to hear an update on it.
Yeah. Of course not, Uncle Mike. There would be no need to actually start the project.
No, you could do it this afternoon. You know, I'd love to get an update on just how interactive it is. And I mean, if you have to be, there's got to be a way, I would think, that they have to verify that you're like, you know, checking the boxes or something like that. You know, I'd love to see how that works.
I would imagine it's like Bart said, that they give you a certain amount of stuff to do within, if you're logging on for 30 minutes.
And also, the way I've always understood it, that you can take the driver improvement course without being required to. You can take it.
You can do that to help with your insurance.
You can put some points in the bank, too.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
All right, bud. Well, there you go. And did you call Mom to tell her that? Oh, I asked you that. You did, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, very good.
Wow.
So what are you doing now? Are you at work or are you just hanging out?
I'm over where I work. I'm not working today.
All right. Well, I love you. I'll see you later, bud.
All right.
Okay.
Bye.
Peace out. There he goes. He's too cool for school.
But that is, I think that's the way the world's going. I think eventually you're going to have a lot more stuff that you would have to be somewhere. You don't have to be there. You just have your computer.
Here's Paul has information on that. Paul.
Radio God.
Howdy, Paul.
Hey, I want to tell you guys, I was actually pulled over in Manassas and got a ticket out there, and I had to go to the online driver training school at CompUSA.
Is that Manassas City or Manassas or Prince William County?
It was Prince William County.
Prince William County, okay.
And what happens is you just can't pull the whole reading part of it up on the internet and skim through it. They're actually timed, so if you try and do it early, it'll refer back and say, you did not read this long enough, you have to go back and read it.
So you really
I think that's fine, though. It's still good. Convenient.
Right, you still have to do the 8 hours, but you don't have to sit down for 8 hours continuously to do it, right?
Right, absolutely.
And you do it like in your underwear.
Yeah, well,
I think that's fantastic. I'm ready to take it right now.
Well, go out and you know, drive 100 miles an hour on your way home tonight, get a ticket.
I don't think I have to. I think you can actually do it voluntarily.
To improve your record, sure.
Yeah, but you won't do that, just like I wouldn't do that.
No.
You wouldn't do it. You won't do it unless you're forced
to
do it.
You have to, yeah.
I wouldn't do it just to get, a point off my license or something.
You ever have those times, you ever wake up, like, in the middle of the night and you just you don't have anything better to do, so you go play around on the computer? Right. And sometimes it's just so boring that, you've read all your news sources and you just want to...
You let me know when you do that. Let me know when you've completed your 8 hour.
Give me the website and I'll do it.
All right, I'll have Bart give it to you. You let me know when you do it, and that is the day that I'll buy you a crown.
Okay.
Cool.
The crown?
Right.
A real one. I'm going to get right on it.
King of the road.
If you could get up to like plus 40 points,
right?
Great, we'll buy you a scepter too.
Can you imagine that if you like it? You could take it again and again and again.
Bank them.
And then drive to work at 130 miles an hour.
Because you have, it's like on Wheel of Fortune. You'd have all your points in a gift certificate.
Right.
So the guy pull you over, you're going 130.
Yes, hello, officer. I was doing 130. Oh, and did I point out there's a half empty bottle of Jack Daniels? Daniels with an open container in the back.
Trailer for sale or rent.
Fantastic. If you pop that trunk, you're going to find all sorts of things, including a dead body.
But, Mike, I see you have enough points not only for the open alcohol container and the dead body and the bushload of heroin and the MK4 AK-47s that you have.
Thank you, officer. And right, check out my middle finger. That's right. Bye-bye.
Bye, man.
I don't think it works that way. No. But what if?
Hello there. Here's another call from Tampa Bay. Mark, Tampa. Hi, Mark.
Yeah, I called yesterday, but I was remiss in welcoming Buzz and Rob Bay to Tampa. Thanks for the updates. We already knew Mike would probably be through with yet another woman. But, Don, how many cars
were
Hey.
Stop right there, smart guy.
Hey, I'm with you. Don't worry about it, Mike. I've been there myself. I'm not trying to poke too much at you.
Okay.
See, I'm an easy fix.
Hey, well,
see, I feel better already. Comrade.
I know there was some ball busting coming my way. What is it?
But, Dad, I wanted to see how many cars or car wrecks you've been through, Don.
Since we've been on in Tampa, are you ready for this?
Go ahead.
Zero. Zero.
Unbelievable.
Zero, my friend.
It's amazing what putting down the old, never mind.
Now you can
have a nice day, Don and Mike.
Listen.
Shouldn't you be getting to the airport? Your flight for Sacramento is leaving pretty soon.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
Love you.
See you later.
We can tell.
Right.
Love you, you hateful hump.
See you later. The other thing that I wanted to bring to everyone's attention is something that my brother hit me to, and Mike had some questions about it, and I spoke to my brother, James Philip Source, earlier today.
Excellent.
Yes.
Excellent.
Yeah, I am looking forward to this. I got a little heads up on this.
I know that we're going to want to discuss this today. Now, I would like to say first off that my brother, who is a law-abiding American citizen, would not do this himself.
He heard this from a friend. A friend who was trying a scam.
A friend in, I think, Sheboygan or Milwaukee, Appleton, somewhere up there in Wisconsin where he lives.
I love that town, Sheboygan.
Anyway, the deal is that what they do is they hang around Walmart or Target. And they just sit in the parking lot, and the item that was mentioned to me specifically was that someone came out of the store carrying in their hands a giant box with a dirt devil, an Oreck, one of those...
vacuum cleaner.
All right. And my brother said that quite often people don't use credit cards, they pay with cash. Mm-hmm. And what you do is... You sit in the parking lot, and you wait till you see someone come out with what appears to be a relatively big-ticket item, and one out of every however many people will just, because they don't have the thing in a bag, they just give you the box to carry out, they'll put the box in the back of their car, and then they'll just throw the receipt away.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Then what my brother has told me, other people do, not him,
right?
Other people then go and spend their day going through the parking lot at Target or Walmart, finding the receipt for something that's paid in cash. And in this case, it's for...
The time commitment must be like similar to waiting to photograph mountain gorillas.
And in this case, it's an Oreck Dirt Devil, which sells for about $150.
I've been here on my third day.
You find somebody who paid cash for it.
The guy's got a receipt. I'll throw it away.
You go back into the store, and you find the item.
Okay.
Then you go to the front desk to refunds, and you say, "Hi, I just bought this, and it's the wrong kind.
This is not the best vacuum cleaner I've ever had."
And they give you back. Now, this is stealing, so don't do this.
No.
But allegedly, they give you back $150 or whatever it is that people paid for.
Now, are we going to have the pleasure of talking to your brother about this?
JP does not feel comfortable discussing this on the air himself.
I am so loaded with questions. Now, I understand, as you said to me earlier, we were talking about this in the office, that they pay in that part of the country with cash a little more than in other regions of the country.
Yeah.
But I still think... That if you have a receipt, you would be... what I'm saying is the time commitment, it must be significant. Even if they're paying with cash...
Well, Mike, when you are unemployed...
Dollars per hour basis.
And when you're unemployed and you're just waiting to kill your next deer...
Yeah.
Who's to say that you don't have 5, 6, 10, 12 hours to sit in a Walmart parking
That's
lot?
Probably a good carton of cigarettes as you're sitting out there.
But the problem is they're going to see you... Go and snatch the item and bring it up to customer service.
No, they're not. No. Not if it's a crowded store. They're not. You're going to walk around in there like you're buying something. Then you just pick it up. See, the thing is, And this is why I know what my brother's telling me.
A lot has to go right for this scam to work.
True, you know? Very true.
I mean, you got to make sure that you get the right receipt. Even when you find the receipt, you got to make sure the guy paid with cash.
And then Mike indicated yesterday, like the barcode thing. And, I brought this up to my brother, and my brother said that's a valid point. However, again, if you luck out and there's a slacker working at the refund desk,
it happens.
The slacker's not going to take the time to check the barcodes against each other.
Or they're swamped,
busy. The slacker might just take the Auric Dirt Devil, whatever it is, and go, beep, beep, $150. You show them the receipt that says $150 just paid for with cash.
Yeah, see, I'm thinking of a store like Best Buy, where, you know, if you try to return something at Best Buy, it's everything but an eye scan.
No, right. it could never work, because at Best Buy, even if you buy a CD, they check your bag when you leave the store.
Right.
However, you know, I've been in Walmarts and Targets and, what's the other one? What's the other big one? What? Kohl's? Kohl's is another big one. They don't have intricate security like at Best Buy or Circuit City.
They don't?
No, I don't think
not
they
as
do.
Much.
Not,
no.
Yeah, not as much.
That's interesting.
Not as much. And I don't, like I say.
But it's still a time.
Hold on. Here's someone who says, now I love this. I love these calls. My brother did that.
Yeah.
Here is, JR. Hello, JR.
Howdy.
Now listen, we're not advocating this. I'm just saying that this is something my brother mentioned, that he has friends.
Morally wrong. Where are you calling from, JR?
The friendly confines of Baltimore.
Home address? No, just kidding.
All right, so did you do this?
No.
Somebody else.
Actually, my brother used to work at a Home Depot.
Yeah, Jeannie?
And was telling me about these jokers who would do this exact thing. And what they don't realize is that Home Depot now has their customer service at that front door when you walk in. And that's on camera now. So when you try and walk in empty-handed, and then 5 minutes later walk up to the desk and go...
So now at Home Depot...
Center, I don't like it.
Right, you would get nailed at Home Depot.
Okay. Yeah, and they actually hit a guy up, and they showed him on videotape walking in empty-handed. and then, hey, duh, here's you with the part in your hand 5 minutes later, stupid.
All right.
Stealing is wrong.
Right. Amen, Buzz. Thank you to that. Hello, here's Bueller. Bueller?
Hey, guys.
Bueller?
Hey.
Anyone?
Bueller. Anyone? Up until just a couple years ago when I was in college, I worked at Kmart, and it happens all the time. And
what are you applauding for?
That might
Kmart?
Be Rob's story. You know, you and I have always had the Target Walmart battle. We might just have found out where Rob lines up.
I applaud working at a Kmart.
Oh, working at a Kmart.
All right. So what happened when you worked at Kmart?
People do it all the time, and they get their hands on a receipt one way or another. It doesn't matter if it's a big ticket item. You'll find people bringing back a bottle of mouthwash. That they didn't buy. They just found a receipt.
Sure,
they dig around.
Up.
I mean, yeah, it adds up.
How do you bust them?
You can't, really. I mean, there's just no way.
You'd have to have the camera system that you were talking about to actually watch people come
in. So all the items aren't, when you scan that barcode, the items aren't individually coded, so that you would know if it had been paid for?
They would be, but again, you'd have to have someone behind the counter in the refund who would
scan it.
Check that barcode number against the barcode number that would come up on the receipt.
Actually, the barcode that's on the item is a universal product code, and
correct.
I think it's the same on every package. Now, they can put another sticker on it. We did this in a very bad Safeway I worked at in Richmond on medication, because people were always trying to lift medication. So they all got another sticker on it, and it was deactivated when it was scanned.
Gotcha.
You could tell whether or not it had been paid for yet.
Now, here's the better scam they're currently doing.
Okay. Yeah.
They walk around, and they find, like you're saying, the Auric, and then they'll go find something where the UPC, which is what Rob is talking about, is actually a sticker. So it's stuck on a bottle. They peel that off.
Mm-hmm.
They stick it over the UPC code. So then you get an idiot checker, and he scans the Auric.
Oh, so you get an Auric. You get an Auric for like $5.95.
Yeah, exactly. There was a time they've corrected it somehow, but a while ago, people would print their own stickers and bring them in. You know, people used to do it the same bad way.
They never knew that.
Boy, this is really. I mean, why go to prison when you can learn all your crime here?
Hold on, Dan. Here's Dan in Maryland. Dan has done this. Dan.
Hello, Don Mike.
Hey, hi, Dan. Have you done this awful crime?
Actually, I have a friend who's done this a lot.
That's the right answer. You have a friend. Thank you, Dan. And what did your friend do?
He goes into Walmart, and he wears a T-shirt, but then he goes in, and he puts on a lot of shirts in the fitting room. but he hides them under, like, jeans and stuff.
Now, wait. Now, hold on. See, we're talking about shoplifting
here. Hold on. This is different than what we're talking about.
This is just like telling a story about your friend who's a shoplifter.
So your friend goes in and just puts on, like, 5 shirts?
And then he walks out, and then he walks, like, in, like, 10 minutes later and then returns them.
He walks in as Clay Aiken but comes out as Reuben Studdard.
But hold on. If your friend was to go into a store and put on 5 shirts, mm-hmm. how would you return them without a receipt?
Yeah, he never said that they checked.
They might give him store credit, but they wouldn't give him a refund. And also, what about the theft prevention tags they put on shirts?
Hold on. Here's Vinny. One more call on this. Vinny.
Yeah.
I trust any guy named Vinny.
Hey, Vinny.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hi, Vinny.
Yeah, they're beautiful. Hey, look, it's called boosting, not stealing. It's called boosting.
That sounds better.
Yeah. It's called liberating. Yeah,
look, we used to do this all the time. Back in the day.
Back in the day.
You know, when you had to get on, you know, you had to get high, you know, you had to do your thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's right, Vinny. Was that before or after you were, like, hijacking cigarettes?
At the same time.
you know what else was popular at this bad Safeway that's making me think of it?
Yeah.
People would get a 6-pack of, like, Miller Lite and take the bottles out, fill it with imported beer. Because, again, you're scanning, you know, like, say, oh.
Who were those people, Rob?
Those were heathens. Never did it.
Hello.
Too busy earning a greenback dollar.
Hello, Dave.
Hey, guys.
Hi, Dave.
I used to be a driver for Walmart. I used to live down in Sutherland, Virginia.
Yeah?
And it can't be done at Walmart because all of those barcodes on every item is totally different. And if you notice at Walmart, they scan a barcode on the receipt.
On the receipt. Right.
Yeah, so once if you return something that's not the same barcode of what you returned, it automatically sets off an error code.
I wouldn't try it in Walmart anyway.
No.
It'd be for obvious reasons. You got that smiley face chasing you around all the time.
Let me just say this, you know, as a blanket kind of CYA thing
for us.
You know, stealing is bad.
Stealing is bad.
I'm just trying to bring a story here that my brother told me about that I thought perhaps our listeners would be interested in.
Investigative reporting. It's interesting the way people try to beat the system.
And also, it would be really bad to do it for any length of time because they'd start recognizing you. You're the man who doesn't keep anything.
Well, Rob, I don't think you want to make a living doing it.
Hello.
I want to.
Eric.
Hey, Don and Mike, how are you?
Hi, Eric.
Just wanted to tell the people down in Tampa, screw you guys down there, man. We want Don and Mike back here. We've been doing without you guys for 3 years.
Where are you?
In Greenville, South Carolina.
Oh, we should be on in Greenville.
Yeah, we should.
We really should.
Move we really Tampa. Miss you guys down here. I finally found you after months of looking, and I've been able to spread the word.
I love Greenville.
You know, I don't even want to ask, how are you able to hear the show, being as we're not broadcasting down in Greenville?
I was just told to tell you my mom's a whore.
All right, thank you, my friend. I think that somebody probably told him, don't talk about the illegal internet feed.
Oh, there you go. That's it doesn't exist even.
That's right. Thank you, Buzz.
That's right. He was listening without a barcode.
Yeah.
You can go looking for it, but you won't find it.
All right, we got a break. Do you want to hear one more call about this topic?
Yes, I find larceny fascinating.
Mark. Hello, Mark.
Hey, what's up, Don and Mike?
And again, you know, please understand, we're not advocating you go out and do this.
No.
If anything, we're giving you consumer tips.
That's right. It's costing us all.
What we're doing is we're helping the merchants prevent theft. Mm-hmm. I've given you 2 great tips already today. If you have to go to driver school, do what my son's doing. Do it online.
Mm-hmm. That's perfectly legal, though.
And if you know someone who's doing this scam, for goodness sakes, you know.
Ask them to stop.
Thank you, Buzz. Ask them to stop. What, Joe?
I actually came up with a really good one. You get a job at a radio station, and then you open up the prize closet. You help yourself.
Oh, that's ages old. People have been doing that for decades.
Joe's world. Like, everybody doesn't do that here. Mm. Like, do you know, seriously, I've not bought... I live for Post-it notes.
Uh-huh.
I've not bought Post-it notes maybe in 11 years.
Mm-hmm.
Same with index cards and pencils.
And toilet paper.
Well, speak for yourself on that.
Sugar and coffee creamer.
There you go.
Joe would still have access to the prize closet, but he kept returning stuff to Colette for a refund.
Anyway, Mark, we got to hit a break. Mark, what can we do for you?
Hey, man, I just wanted to let you know my next-door neighbor, the heroin addict, uses to walk up to the service desk and return the item and get gift cards for it and then sell them for half price.
Wow.
All right, good. Well, tell your friend the heroin addict we said hi.
One other thing, heroin also illegal.
Thank you. Yeah. Oh, and Rob, what's that bumper sticker we saw in the car in Ocean City?
Heroin kills.
Rob, we were on vacation. Rob and I were driving down the road.
On heroin.
And I saw the sticker on a car.
So sleepy.
And I just leaned over to him and I said, Rob, heroin kills.
You bet.
And Rob didn't see the bumper sticker. No, he thought I was lecturing him.
I feel good. I'm done with that.
Don't worry, Don. I'll never try it.
I'm off the horse.
All right, we got a break. Who says the show is not informative yet entertaining?
Amen.
And all of it with the help of my friend the computer.
Uh-huh.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
We want to promote families in America. Families is where our nation finds hope, where wings take dream.
I would have my Secretary of Treasury be in touch with the financial centers, not only here but at home.
I don't think we need to be subliminal about the differences between our views on prescription drugs.
Well, I've been standing up to big Hollywood, big trial lawyers. What was the question? It was about emergencies, wasn't it? There's an old saying in Tennessee, I know it's in Texas, probably in Tennessee, that says, fool me once, shame on you.
Uh-huh.
George?
You fool me, you can't get fooled again.
The Don and Mike Show.
Right.
Listen, rinse, repeat. The Don and Mike Show.
Today, I'm going to be shooting my web. So just watch it.
Are you making a Spider-Man 2 reference?
Yes, I am.
Oh, that's right. Stan Lee's coming on the show.
Yes, there's going to be web all over the studio today. I'm going to be spraying web everywhere.
Fantastic.
I love me Spider-Man.
I know.
Not as much as Batman, but I love Spider-Man. I love the movie, and today, I like both the movies. Today, the guy that invented Spider-Man, Stan Lee, will be on the show.
The guy is kind of a genius. He's given us so many great characters.
It's clobbering time! That's from the Fantastic Four, Mike.
Is that a comic book?
It sure is. And
it's clobbering time?
It's clobbering time.
That's Stan Lee's thing?
Well, that's what the thing used to say in the Fantastic Four. Remember the orange?
Who were the Fantastic Four?
Was Mr. Fantastic. He was stretchy. Then there was the Invisible Girl. Then there was the Human Torch.
Right.
And then there was the Thing.
Mr. Fantastic.
Mr. Fantastic.
Oh, all right.
He's fantastic.
That's what I call Buzz most of the time.
And you know what? And you know what the real identity of Mr. Fantastic was, don't you?
Cherry time.
Isn't there an adult comic book just called The Thing?
The Thing. I think it's a movie.
Oh, okay.
I think it may have started as an adult comic book.
I'll loan you the
not
video.
Orange, though.
Also,
I thought it was the book about mushrooms.
All right. No, and actually, I think in the comic book and in the movie, it is orange.
Oh, yeah.
He's eating a lot of carrots, like Surf.
Right.
Also no, today...
I hope that's carrots.
Also today, Chuck Barris will be on the show.
Wow.
Tomorrow, just kicked off The Amazing Race, Dennis and Erica, the annoying couple that had gotten back together.
Yeah, I would like to ask her if she threw the guy under the bus.
Anyway,
you know,
that's...
At the end, because, you know, did you see when they got kicked out? Mm-hmm. It was like, he was too nice. Yeah, well, she immediately sold him out.
Well, that's... I think on The Amazing Race, this was the couple that had gotten back, broken up and gotten back together.
The blonde girl, right?
Correct.
And then they lost the other night.
They will join us on tomorrow's episode. Okay, so that's Stan Lee today and Chuck Barris today, and mm-hmm. then the people from The Amazing Race tomorrow, and Beth Ann has just a ton of other people. The guy from the World Series of Poker will be on. The people from the show The Casino will be on the Fox show. And some wrestler named Dave Bautista. He'll be coming by very soon also.
Very good.
So if we haven't mentioned it in the last 10 or 15 minutes, great job, BA. Plus, we have nudists coming on the show. That's always good fun.
Yeah and nudists, you know, don't think that there's going to be anything really exciting about it.
No, it's just nudists.
If you've ever seen, like, shows, is it HBO that has the show called Real Sex?
Yes. Or let me ask...
That's the type of people.
Let me ask you to simply go to eBay and try to find a little tape that Mike and I put together on the VHS format about 8 years ago called Sex, Pies, and Videotape.
Yeah, that was our experience with nudists.
We went to a nudist colony and had the Nude Olympics and taped it and sold it to our audience. And it sold like maybe 200 copies.
Yeah, you have to see these people because they're very comfortable with their nudity.
And postponed from yesterday, the guy that's marketing a 6-pound hamburger. So who's... So who says we don't get the big guests on this show?
This is an exciting program.
Yeah. Right? All the way from the guy that made Spider-Man up to the guy who's got a six-pound hamburger. Now, besides Spider-Man, which I could talk all day about, and I will when Stan Lee is on, the other movie that everybody's talking about, of course, is Fahrenheit 9/11.
Right.
And most of us have seen it. I've not had the pleasure yet. Mike saw it. Buzz has seen it. Mm-hmm. They have a Fahrenheit 9/11 hotline.
Very good.
I'll tell you something true. When we were at the beach last week, you know how they have the signs, the planes that fly by with the advertising when you're on the beach?
Yeah.
Where it says, like,
for banners behind
yeah, with the, it says, you know, best hamburgers on the beach or whatever. They really had one that said, take your head out of the sand and go see Fahrenheit 9/11.
Did I hear a story about, I don't think it was Ocean City, but one of those planes actually went down.
Yes, last year in Ocean City, right.
Last year?
I think it was last
year. I thought it was a recent thing where a guy actually, maybe it was somewhere else besides Ocean City, that it might have been down near Atlantic City where one actually took a little tumble.
Wow. Well, I know that last year at least one of them crashed in Ocean City.
Whenever I see those planes when they're flying the banners up and down the beach, it looks to me like he's got the thing wide open, and if he takes it off the throttle, that plane's just going to go straight down.
Yeah. The best ad that I ever saw at the beach was when they had a Skyrider. Whenever the movie Con Air came out, they had a skywriter that wrote with smoke, Con Air. And you want to talk about people forming on the beach and staring up at the sky, and it was like C-O, co. Then it was Con, and nobody thought Con Air.
Right.
It was not until, like, maybe the I after the A, and then finally went, oh, it's the movie.
Yeah.
What a brilliant way to market the movie.
Conan the Barbarian.
So not only are they doing all of these weird ads for, was it an ad for a hairdryer? No, Rob.
Conair.
So Conair is a brand of a hairdryer.
It's a fine, fine hairdryer.
There is, you know, Michael Moore has done a great job of marketing this movie.
Yeah.
You know, some stuff he planned, some stuff he didn't plan. Here's something that the studio has planned. It is the Fahrenheit 9/11 hotline.
That's a good idea.
Where you find out what's happening with the progress of the movie, how much the movie is making, where the movie is currently showing, and it's something that I think, you know, we lean Democratic on this show. It's something I believe that we can all enjoy.
Fahrenheit 9/11 hotline, can I help you?
Oh, I thought it was a recorded thing. Is this the,
This is a live hotline where I can answer any questions you might have about the movie.
Great. First, let me say I hate George Bush. I think he's a dope, and I can't wait to see Fahrenheit 9/11. Is it playing in my area?
I'm afraid it isn't.
Well, no.
I'm afraid you won't be able to find this movie. The movie, prematurely was released to DVD, and, it won't be available until, I mean, look, I've got my papers here. Hold on a second. This movie will be available for you after the election time.
No way.
You can't see it right now. It's been canceled.
You said that the movie is not showing in my area. You didn't ask what area I live in.
Well, I apologize. What area are you from, sir?
Washington, D.C.
Washington, D.C.? Nope, it's not showing in your area. I'm afraid you will not be able to see this movie. Also, we have just received this bulletin here. And thank you for calling the Fahrenheit 911 hotline. Yes. The movie, unfortunately, is going to be pulled off the shelves because it is a pack of lies. Huh. Lies and innuendo. And unfortunately, this movie is not telling the truth. This movie is based on a very bitter man who is trying to subvert the United States and basically is a traitor.
You know, something tells me that this is not like...
And in a theater this movie is playing in, the projector bulb has got all broken.
This reminds me of that episode of Seinfeld when they called the movie phone and it was Kramer.
Uh-huh.
Something tells me that... I know I'm talking to a live person right now, not a recording.
I'm the operator at the Fahrenheit 911 hotline with a message for the day. Would you like to hear it?
Sure, I would.
Always distrust obese people.
May I ask?
They will lie to you, and they are also very, very dishonest movie makers.
May I ask your name, sir?
My name, for the sake of argument, you can call me Johnny.
Johnny?
I'm Johnny.
Johnny.
I'm the operator manning the telephones at the Fahrenheit 911 hotline.
Why would they have a Fahrenheit 911 hotline and you're telling people not to go see the movie?
Well, we are trying to serve the public by giving you the very latest information unfortunately, it has been proven that if you watch this movie, Fahrenheit 911, and you sit in the theater and watch it, you will catch a bad disease.
All right, you know, I'm going to hang up on this, because I want to tell you, I'm going to call another line. That sounded to me like President Bush.
Yeah, a little, yeah.
Now, I also have a line.
I don't think it was.
I also have a line for the Spider-Man hotline.
All right.
And let's, now, if it's President Bush on that one, then color me shocked.
Yeah, that would be strange. I can't imagine that happening.
But, you know, you wouldn't have a Fahrenheit 911 hotline, and the first thing the guy says is it's not showing in your area.
Doesn't make sense.
All right, so now the Spider-Man hotline is ringing. Yes. Spider-Man Sue hotline.
Thank you for calling the Spider-Man Hotline, the greatest movie in the history of the world. A movie I encourage everyone to go see. It's playing everywhere, at all times, every hour. Go see it. But do not go see Fahrenheit 9/11. It will give you cancer.
Wow.
I guarantee it.
Is this Johnny?
This is Johnny. I'm the operator for both the Spider-Man and the Fahrenheit 911 hotline. I believe that if you go see Spider-Man, you will actually lose weight and grow stronger. Go see Tobin Maguire in Spider-Guy.
All right, now, I'm going to put this to the test. Yeah. I am going to hang up on that, and I am going to call the hotline for Dodgeball.
Dodgeball.
All right, Dodgeball's been out a while, right?
That's got to be a separate deal entirely.
Because otherwise, it just sounds like Bush is answering the phone and just telling people not to go to Fahrenheit 9/11.
So hey, I don't understand how he could be working all the different movies. That's crazy.
No, he's got time. Hold on, I misdialed.
Very interesting if he was working all of them. Did sound like him the last time. I think that might be him.
Sounded like him the first time, too, but he said his name was Johnny.
Yeah.
Mr. Johnny. All right, this would be the Dodgeball hotline.
Very good.
The, what's his name? Ben Stiller movie.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, I'm your spokesperson, Johnny, for the Dodgeball hotline. How are you? Who am I speaking with?
This is Don.
Hey, Don, here's the message of the day.
Okay.
Dodgeball, the funniest movie in America, will make you sexy. Go see Dodgeball and leave the theater a sexier man than you were when you walked in.
Where is it playing?
It's playing everywhere on the hour. Make sure that you go see that movie and tell your friends, whatever they do, it is a health hazard to go see the movie Fahrenheit 911. It is a pack of lies, and it will give you toe fungus.
Hey, you know what? I know the way to find out if it's really him or not. Bye, Johnny.
Bye. My name is Johnny at the Dodgeball Hotline.
Bye, Johnny.
I'm going to call the Michael Moore hotline.
Ah.
A hotline where you can find out where Michael Moore is doing appearances, where he's doing... Michael Moore is going to be on the show in the next couple of weeks again.
Excellent.
So now we'll see. This time...
Well, this can't be a scam. No, I don't think so. This has got to be... Legit. This number. Be totally
maybe
legit.
It won't be Michael Moore himself, but maybe it'll be someone saying Michael will be appearing in such and such an area.
A spokesperson.
All right, so first it was Fahrenheit 9/11, then it was Spider-Man, then it was Dodgeball. Now this is just the Michael Moore information line.
Very good.
Thank you for calling the Michael Moore hotline.
Hey.
Michael Moore is a known homosexual.
Oh, my God.
And his movies are lies, packs of lies, and he smells offensive.
Hi, Johnny.
Hi, I'm Johnny. This is the gentleman I spoke to when we were talking earlier over on the Dodgeball Hotline.
That's me, Don.
How are you, son?
Hey, Johnny?
Yes, I can answer any questions that you may have about filmmaker, allegedly, Michael Moore. What questions do you have about Michael Moore? My name is Johnny at the Michael Moore Hotline.
Do you find him to be a handsome man?
Absolutely, if you like fat pigs. I am so sorry, I seem to have misspoke. I mean portly gentleman. His given name is Michael Moore Trouble, and he is a communist.
Now your name is what? Your name is Johnny?
My name is Johnny.
What is your last name, Johnny?
Johnny Smith.
Johnny Smith?
Yes. Press 2 to hear Michael Moore's comments on filmmaking.
Oh.
Oink, oink, oink.
You know what?
Yeah,
I'm hanging up because I know what's happening there. Now watch this. I'm going to call the direct line to the White House. What, Rob?
Do you have that number?
Do I? I got it committed to memory.
He's got every number.
Here we go.
He's got them all in his Rolodex.
Okay, and I'm doing this without the computer. Now, this is going to ring through to Bush's desk.
That's great.
White House.
Hello?
Hi, Charlie. President Bush, please.
Oh, hold on a second.
How you doing, Charlie?
I'm fine, Don. Thanks for getting me the job.
You're welcome.
Hold on a second.
Okay.
President Bush.
Explain so much.
Okay, Don's on the phone.
And don't even put it on hold.
No.
Hello? Yeah, who's this?
Hey, it's Don. What's happening?
How you doing, Don?
Hey, George.
Yeah, what can I do for you?
Hey, George?
Yeah.
Are you trying to disguise your voice?
Yeah, I was. You calling about them hotlines? Hey, I don't, man. I tell you, I can't come up with all those things. I got to do all those movie lines, and I'm just trying to get people not to go see that Cotton Pigeon movie. That movie makes me look so dumb. I tell you, I hate that movie so bad. I really do. I truly.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Right. I tell you. And Charlie, what do you get him a job here for? He ate all my gum. He eats all my gum every day.
Now,
I can't keep gum in my desk. He takes it.
You got to come up with a better fake name than Johnny Smith, though.
I thought it was perfect. It was nondescript, and there are many John Smiths in this nation of ours.
Right. It was
what
perfect.
A great nation it
hey,
is.
Hey, President Bush, we had a groaner on today. You tell me if you think this is funny.
All right. Hey, Charlie, you put that gum down.
What's the name of the Michael Moore film about Condoleezza Rice?
What is it?
Glarenheit 9/11.
That's funny. It's fun.
I
love them groaners. I really do. That's funny. Oh, man. I do enjoy it. I do it. But tell that big boy with the big head not to eat my gum.
Oh, Charlie?
Honest to God, I tell you, I had 16 full packs of Big Red. And he snarled them all up. I tell you, it makes me mad.
Don't you have more important things to do than be answering the Spider-Man Fahrenheit 9/11 dodgeball hotline?
I do indeed. I am in the process right now of staring out into the Rose Garden and gauging the cumulus clouds.
If I was to call the Garfield movie hotline, would you answer that one too?
I could arrange that for you. I have the powers. I have the powers to answer any phone in the United States. You didn't realize that.
I'm going
to
call the Garfield line right now.
I tell you, this whole Oval Office smells like fruit stripe gum.
All right, now we're going to call, final one, Garfield the movie. Now, this certainly could not be President.
I can't believe he'd spend his time this way.
Okay, Garfield. How you do?
G-A-R-F-I-E-L-D.
E-L-D. Okay. Yeah. I hate it when they spell out numbers like that. It's not like 527.
Gotta find the key.
It's 1-800-Garfield. And it appears to be busy.
The movie's hotter than I thought it was.
I don't know how it appeared to be busy. Somebody must have left it off the hook.
Somebody must have. Okay.
I'm sure it'll work now. You calling the Garfield hotline?
Yes. Yes. Oh, yes.
Right, let's see what
I-E-L-D. 1-800-GARFIELD. Here we go. Maybe it'll be Johnny Smith. God, I hope he's changed his name.
I don't know what. No, just tell him to do it right now.
No.
I don't want it. No. Hey, Garfield Hotline. I don't.
It's Charlie. I'm going to know it's Charlie.
No. Just do it. Pick him.
No, he's coaching.
Oh, damn it, Charlie. Garfield Hotline. John Smith.
Charlie?
Hey, tell him what that thing. Read it. I can't read it. Read the goddamn line. Michael Moore can go lick it.
Hey, Charlie?
Yes, Tom?
Put John Smith on the phone.
You mean the guy?
President Bush.
All right. Yeah. President Bush, they know it's you. All right, Charlie. God damn it. Hear the phone, you retard.
Hello? President Bush.
Man, what a tard. Hi, Don.
So what's happening with the Garfield movie?
It's going to be a hell of a lot better than that 9/11 thing. That communist propaganda. I mean, that's really, he's subverting us. Mm. If you continue to go see that movie 9/11, we're going to lose everything. You will lose your car and your home and your family. I pretty damn near guarantee that, son. I really do. How you been, Don?
I've been very well, sir. And you?
How's your vacation?
It was just fine. Thank you for asking. We had some problems with the computer.
Yeah.
I understand that, what's his name? Kerry ended up getting running mate, right? The guy John Edwards?
Yeah, he cannot be president. He is not qualified. Hold on a second. He cannot be president. He is not qualified.
Are you reading?
He is too young and inexperienced, and he has not had enough time in Washington to successfully fill the role of President of the United States. Hey, would you like to go mountain biking with me?
When's the last time you fell off a bike?
I didn't. I went out to the Secret Service training facility. I rode it for an hour and a half. Not one spill.
Very good.
And how about that, son? Not one spill.
Not one spill.
Hey, try renting New York Minute tonight. It's as smart as it is funny. Those Olsen twins rock.
Do you know they would probably remind you of your daughters. One of them has got a coke problem.
Oh, man, I tell you, they're trouble. Jenna and Barbara.
Yeah.
Man, oh, man. Yeah, Tweedledee and Tweedledum.
Pain in the ass.
Man, oh, man, it's a pain in the ass.
So of all the movies that are out right now, Fahrenheit 9/11, Spider-Man 2, Garfield, Dodgeball.
Well, quite frankly,
Shrek 2.
I must tell you, I'm not interested in any of the current cinematic experiences. I would like to see a movie made about an American sport that I treasure now. And it's my newest, latest thing. And I'm talking about mountain biking.
Oh.
I would love to see somebody make a movie about mountain biking. It is a liberating and freeing experience. And you know something?
What?
I've got a great bike, too, with lots of all sorts of fancy gears. And I downshift it when I'm going downhill, and I can really travel, son. I'd like to see a movie about mountain biking. I'd probably enjoy that as much as that Nemo movie I like
do
so
you,
bad.
When you're on your bike, do you put playing cards in the spokes?
Damn right I do.
Why you do that? Because it makes the sound?
It sound like I got a motorcycle. Man, I have a great time. But don't go see that Fat Cows movie, okay? I don't like that boy.
Fahrenheit 9/11?
That's right.
You know. Hey, did you ever think about this, though. Take yourself out of the situation for a second.
I will take myself out as far as I can.
If you shaved Michael Moore's beard and put him in a wig,
yeah,
wouldn't he look like Momo?
Oh, he likes that.
Well, you're going to get me in trouble, Don.
Isn't that true, though?
You know you're going to get me in trouble.
He would look like your Momo.
Listen, I know you've got... Is your newsman handy?
Yeah, Buzz, he's right here.
I'm here, Buzz. Mr. President.
Howdy, Buzz. How have you been?
I'm well, sir.
We're having a good time at the White House, leading this country into the land of prosperity.
Uh-huh.
I have a bulletin for you. This is a secret scoop. You can reveal this to your listeners at your earliest convenience.
Well, thank you, Mr.
Bulletin.
President. Yes.
This just in. I have been briefed by the CIA,
uh-huh,
and they have informed me that Michael Moore,
uh-huh,
is a terrorist.
Wow.
That's right. His whole fat body is one big bomb.
I'll check on it. I find it hard to believe, but I will check on him.
It's a stink bomb.
That's right. They should tackle him, cut him open, just like they did in that movie Jaws,
mm-hmm,
and they would find explosives.
License plate. Absolutely. All right. Thank you, George.
Johnny Smith saying so long.
Bye, Johnny.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, there's the Fahrenheit 9/11, Spider-Man 2,
mm-hmm,
Garfield, Dodgeball Hotline.
Yeah, and he's plugging New York Minute, too. Wow. Likes that one, too. Surprising.
Sure he does. Who doesn't, Mike?
And playing cards in his bike.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
When the tumor was dissected into tiny pieces and analyzed, pathologists found it to contain some very bizarre things.
A dermoid is an unusual type of tumor. It can contain any type of human tissue. And in fact, this patient had both hair and teeth in portions of this massive tumor.
Massive tumor.
Seacrest, out! Seacrest, out!
Massive
Seacrest,
tumor.
Out!
Seacrest, there he is.
Out! See you guys, Seacrest, out! Seacrest, out!
Okay.
Seacrest, out!
Okay. Seacrest, out!
Seacrest, right. Out! Seacrest, out! Out!
Okay. The Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
That's right.
The writing is delicious.
Thank you, darling. Thank you, Swoozy.
Sanitized for your protection. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Right, here we are, and it's a website you'll want to go to. Oh, boy. It's not as good as Paris Hilton.
Okay.
And it's not as good as Jenna from Survivor.
All right.
Giving a treat.
Right.
However, maybe you've heard the stories about Cameron Diaz, that there are pictures that were out when she was 19 or 20, and she didn't want anybody to get a hold of them.
Okay.
The pictures are out. If you go to the website, newsfilter.org.
Mm-hmm.
Now, keep in mind, if you go there, your computer is going to be loaded up with all kinds of porno pop-up ads.
Right.
Buzz has it over there, Mike, and please don't even have to move very much to see it. It says, do you think Cameron Diaz is an angel? Buzz, please click on and show us what an angel Cameron Diaz truly is.
She's an angel, all right.
All right. Would you click it on?
Yes.
That's Cameron Diaz.
Oh, well, hold on a second.
Taking whipped cream. She's topless.
Yes.
And she's taking compressed air.
Mm-hmm.
And she's putting it on an area of her bosom. And that area of her bosom has Miracle-Gro on it. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
With the new... Oh, it's really... That sound... That's Mike against the wall looking at the... Looking at the computer.
I'm so sorry I'm not paying attention to the show right
Mike,
now.
Mike, no. That's part of the show today.
We have the audio of that tape.
Oh, do we really?
Yeah.
Okay, here is the audio of Cameron Diaz.
New and improved Joker product!
That's not Cameron Diaz.
Yeah, all right, Buzz. Play it again. Play it again for Mike one more time. It says, do you think Cameron Diaz...
Thank you, Krista.
The actual audio.
Look at him. Look at how big he got.
Getting big.
Wow. Okay, here we go. You even got that.
I don't know if we should keep that.
And then it just goes on and on.
That's not her.
That is not her in those scenes.
No.
But these are clips from a movie that she made before she became Cameron Diaz.
You know, that very brief snippet.
Hey, Buzz, can you start it from the beginning again?
I just have, and I want to freeze it.
No, let's see.
Let's start it again, because there's a perfect picture here at the beginning.
And can you turn the audio up? If it's something nasty, we'll delete it out.
Oh, look at him. Look how big they got.
Getting big.
Okay, here we go.
You even got that.
Do you remember a couple, maybe almost a year back, she was in court trying to suppress a photo shoot?
I remember that.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah, but you know what? It's not that big a deal, really. I mean, yeah, is it provocative? But I mean, my God, she looks fantastic.
It provokes me.
Boy, oh boy.
It is soft core. Uh-huh. It was made in 1992. Sleazy internet photographer John Rutter. Cameron Diaz sued the guy when she found out that he was shopping the pictures around.
Thank you, Krista. Oh, look at him. Look how big
they got. Big.
Bad girl.
Cameron is very fetching. She has S&M gear on.
She looks absolutely fantastic.
She's only in two-thirds of the 30-minute movie. If you actually buy it, they give you a little free shot here if you go to this website.
She's in how much of it?
One-third of it.
One-third of the 30 minutes, so 10 minutes of her?
Yeah, and it's softcore, so there's no real porno, but she's topless.
19 years old.
Throughout the entire thing. And she's perking up her area with a can of compressed air.
No.
And then she says, whoa, look at them. Look how big they got.
Wow.
So maybe we could hear that one more time.
Yeah.
Buzz, if you wouldn't mind. Just one more time.
Here it comes.
Here we go. Do you think Cameron Diaz is an angel?
Man, oh man.
And Buzz clicks on and...
Thank you, Krista.
Oh, look at him. Look how big they got.
Getting big.
That's for Cameron Diaz.
Not just for the
few. Oh, wow.
So, kids, listen.
That will not do anything to hurt her image, I predict.
No, not a thing. Drive your parents crazy. Go to the website. It's newsfilter.org.
Right.
You get just a taste.
But if you go to that site, as you warned properly earlier, be prepared for your computer to be taken over.
And listen to this. We had to totally shut down my computer at home today and reset it.
Because you went on that site?
Yeah, because I went on the site, and then I came up back a couple of minutes later to check my email.
Right.
And without even being logged on to AOL or Internet Explorer, there were about 20 hardcore pop-up ads that just appeared all over my screen.
If you go to sites with that kind of material, they literally will screw up your computer.
Even if you have the best spyware in the world.
I do. I didn't get a single pop-up when I went there today. Not one.
But I find it's almost worth it.
How many did you block? I'll have to check the software to see how many it blocked. See, because I've got pop-up blocker on mine, and I still get pop-up.
See, Buzz doesn't look at those as... as spam, though.
He looks at him as content.
That's
welcome,
right.
welcome friend.
Additions from old friends.
All right, so that's the big news tip for the day.
And Buzz, during the commercial break.
No pun intended on that news tip of the day.
And during the commercial break, if you can fire that Jenna one up for me, I'd like to take a peek at that.
I'll just run it continuously.
Thank you very much.
Also, let me see. Oh, Marlon Brando. Now, we've talked about him. You know, he's dead and cremated. Yesterday we were speculating how many kids he had.
What's my favorite comedy?
15. What's your favorite comedy?
Up in Smoke.
15 different kids. One of the kids now who says that she's fathered by Marlon Brando is a woman named Cynthia Lynn. And now you wouldn't know her from Eve, except her mom played Helga on Hogan's Heroes.
Really?
Oh. Yeah.
Helga the hot receptionist.
Right. Oh. Now, there were two receptionists on Hogan's Heroes.
One that he had a stormy affair with.
And that was the second one. He left his wife.
And married her.
Yeah, to hook up with the second one. Hmm. And that Cameron Diaz photo leads me to another photo we've not seen yet, but it will be on the internet shortly. It is a picture of Marlon Brando. And now with the new FCC standards, I have to be careful how I'm saying this.
Okay.
Marlon Brando is making another man feel good. And he's making another man feeling good. No. Yes.
Really?
Yes, that's right. Open wide.
I didn't know that he was bi.
Well, Marlon Brando, I guess, back in the 50s.
Oh, it's an old picture.
Mm-hmm. Liked to swing all kinds of ways. And there's some guy named Gary Carey. Now, that sounds like a DJ name, right?
Thank you, Marlon. That's fantastic. I'm Gary Carey.
I'm Gary Carey. Maybe you know my brother.
Gary Carey.
Anyway, he's coming out now, and again, no pun intended, saying, I have had homosexual experiences, I'm not ashamed, with Marlon Brando, and he's got pictures that he's either going to sell to a magazine or put on the internet.
So he just waited for Marlon to die?
Yeah.
Oh, is that low rent or what?
And then also, just because the internet's such a great place.
Is the photo with the thing from Island of Dr. Moreau, that little guy?
Yeah, the little guy.
That's Gary, yeah.
From the internet. George Michael, not the guy with orange hair from Channel 4, but the guy that was also making a man happy in a bathroom, right, in Los Angeles.
George Michael.
Right, you know, wake me up before I go-go. He set up a website because he's making a comeback.
Right.
However, he's had to take down the website now because he had a chat room up there.
Yeah.
And nobody wrote, George Michael's great, we love George Michael. People wrote, he's old, he's overweight, he's a faggot, his music stinks, he should go back to the bathroom to finish doing whatever he did with the guy.
Man, that's nasty.
So, well, what do you expect?
I mean, he's not as popular as he used to be.
So George Michael has decided that the website will no longer be available.
Well, welcome to the internet. I mean, that's the word of the world of the bottom feeder. Wild
there
West.
Are plenty of places to read people slagging each other off. I wasn't trying to create one in opening my forum. I wanted my fans to write about me. Those of you who want to carry on the media's work will have to do it somewhere else.
I think I'll have a big plate of bangers and chips.
Sorry, guys. That's the way it goes. That's George Michael. What the hell do you expect? Listen, Baltimore. I'm going to need the fanfare.
Oh, yeah, you got it?
Yeah, I got it.
Has Baltimore achieved something?
Well, they might, and it's not only is it spotlight on Baltimore, one of our favorite cities and affiliates. Absolutely.
Yeah.
WXYV Live 105.7 FM.
Wonderful affiliate.
As you know, Baltimore is the capital of sexually transmitted diseases in the world.
Do they still hold that title?
In my mind, they're still the unofficial winners.
I know it was a syphilis title they had years ago.
Yes. Well, Mike, the word syphilis has come back.
Really?
No pun intended again. And this time, it's super.
Super syphilis?
Super syphilis. It's gonorrhea that's gone wild. It's mutated.
What is that, one of those videotapes they sell late at night?
Yeah.
Gonorrhea gone wild.
I saw an ad the other day for just the sickest tape. You know Girls Gone Wild?
Yeah, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yes, of course. Well, now there's a group of entrepreneurs who have gone down to South Florida and made a tape called Guys Gone Wild.
No!
Yes, where they get guys all drunk. And
Mad TV did that as a bit, and it was the funniest thing I've ever seen.
But it's a true thing now.
Oh, so these guys showing their things?
It's guys that are drunk, like standing in hotel lobbies going, hey, take a look at this!
Oh, no.
What do you think of this?
Is Cameron Diaz on the tape?
Not yet.
I'm not buying it.
I don't know. I'm not going to buy any tape like that until it's CBS Engineers Gone Wild.
Now, you would make a fortune.
You could.
Engineers Gone Wild.
With all of our engineers.
Be fantastic.
Anyway, listen. Here's the deal. Here's the deal with
Ladies
syphilis.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you only knew.
Here's the deal with this mutant syphilis. It's gonorrhea that's mutated into a super syphilis.
Yeah.
Now,
well, wait a minute. Into a super disease.
Yes. Well,
it's not, gonorrhea hasn't turned into syphilis.
No, those are two separate.
No. Yeah, right. Gonorrhea has gone wild by mutating and can no longer be cured with regular antibiotics. Syphilis has also mutated.
Mm-hmm.
And while gonorrhea has gone wild by mutating, syphilis has trumped gonorrhea by mutating four times faster.
Wow.
Than gonorrhea. Going, gonorrhea.
So does that mean both of them incurable?
No, not incurable. However, and again, spotlight on Baltimore, syphilis capital of the world, syphilis city. If you have mutant syphilis.
God.
And if you have regular syphilis, you have to take pills.
Right.
And, you know.
Antibiotics.
Four pills a day are a hassle.
Such a hassle.
If you have the new mutant syphilis.
Yeah.
You have to get injections of penicillin directly into your buttocks.
Very painful.
These shots are more painful than typical injections because a large amount of penicillin needs to be forced into your muscles.
Wow.
And in San Francisco.
How many shots do you have to get?
Over a period of time, it depends how super your syphilis is.
Well, that's nasty.
And in San Francisco, they're glad to find that they don't have super syphilis out there. They have what they call in San Francisco old school syphilis.
Old school. Is that the one that Will Ferrell had?
That's right.
You're crazy.
I'm tired.
You're crazy.
You're crazy, man.
You're crazy. I love you.
Crazy. So anyway, spotlight on Baltimore. Watch out for the super syphilis.
Super syphilis.
Now, this one I don't know if I should even tell you about because they're crazy with the FCC around here. The witch hunt is continuing, the FCC witch hunt. However, this is a story that they're not going to want to hear at Infinity Broadcast.
No?
I don't think so. We've always had a pretty good working relationship with the lawyers here. All of the shows at Infinity have, because here's the deal. There's never a tape of any show.
Mm-hmm.
We don't tape any shows except the ones that we want to keep to play as reruns.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else gets tossed immediately.
Yeah, and those, the reruns are basically segments that we save.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they are, generally speaking, the safest material we can possibly
Absolutely.
Run.
Absolutely.
Well, the FCC, because, you know, listen, they've got nothing else to do. Now they're talking about another rule that will require broadcasters to keep recordings of their programs for up to 3 months. Meaning, if somebody hears something they don't like, they don't even have to have a tape of it anymore. They can just write a letter to the FCC saying, hey, I heard them talking about such and such. The FCC then, they call Yalen, and Yalen says, oh, let me look up the tape for you, and then the DJs get nailed.
Well, you know what? You just got to be honest about it, and we have to say, hey, thanks, FCC, for taking away the last loophole.
Yeah. That was it.
The FCC says this will make its job easier. Yeah, and we certainly want to do that.
Yeah, we want to help the FCC, and especially Michael Copps. He's a great guy. He's the one that's come up with this fantastic idea. And
he's a fine guy.
What a fine guy.
There you go.
What a fine guy.
Well, you know, it's not like it used to be. So
no, it sure isn't.
But
Mike,
I tell you, it's pretty amazing. It really, the climate still exists, and you know, now it's swinging back, isn't it? It was, you know, when they were stacking up the Iraqi prisoners in the prison in Abu Ghraib. You know, now that the spotlight was on that for a while. Now the spotlight's off that again, and they're coming back
on the FCC. Oh, and also,
we are a popular funding.
I know Buzz had this on the news the other day that they are thinking about fining all of the CBS-owned TV stations
yes.
that ran the Janet Jackson thing. The Super Bowl was 6 months ago.
Right.
Who is still bothered by seeing Janet Jackson's breath?
Amazing.
Janet Jackson's breath.
Amazing, amazing.
But they're thinking about fining all of those stations just because they've got, you know, nothing else to do. So thank you, FCC. I don't have time to tell you about Dennis Rodman running with the Bulls to raise money for multiple sclerosis. I can tell you, though, that he's doing a new commercial.
How you doing?
He's doing a new commercial now for a spray that helps you out down there.
You mean he's a big... performance enhancer.
Thank you, Buzz. It's a performance enhancer.
For men and women, I understand.
That Dennis Rodman is doing a commercial for.
I just want to say that it's great to be in Pampa Pelona.
What's up, Doc?
Hi.
How are you doing? What's up, Doc? It's Shaquille O'Neal.
I'm Dennis Rodman.
What's up, Doc?
Remember the Bulls and Papa Bologna.
And, of course, there's always that story that Dennis Rodman's coming back again this year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He wants to come back with another NBA team.
He's bored.
I don't have time for anything else. I just got time for a feel-good.
Oh,
and are you ready for a real feel-good?
Oh, no, a real feel-good. Everybody, warning, warning, hide the children.
A real feel-good. Okay.
This is scary time.
I'll just read you the headline.
Who got killed?
Nobody got killed yet.
Really?
Nobody got killed yet. Now, keep in mind that this feel good. I just want to warn you, if you have a little kid in the car, maybe you might want to just, you know,
turn the radio down.
Yeah, or you know, whatever.
Distract them. Point at a shiny object.
Thank you, Buzz. There's a guy close to the D.C. area, Charlottesville, Virginia.
A beautiful town. I was there over my vacation.
Guy recently got divorced.
Mm-hmm.
So he went to an online chat room posing as his ex-wife. He did this to lure men from the internet so that they would go to his wife's house and rape her.
Oh, my God.
That's right.
Wow.
Guy's name is Anthony Lee Napier. Aren't they always named with three?
Three names.
Anthony Lee Napier.
Mm-hmm.
What he did was he went on one of these sex boards. He gave out his wife's address, phone number. And he said, now I've got the ad right here.
Well, not only depraved, but what a moron.
He said in the ad, he gave his wife's address, phone number, her measurements, to say what she looked like. And then said, she's going to play dumb, but she really, written as her, I will play dumb, but I really want to have sex with you.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. Now.
That's an all-time low.
Why did he do it?
Yeah,
he was mad at her.
Jesus.
Wanted to get back at her.
Well, now she's going to get back at him. How many years is he going to serve for that?
Well, Mike, actually there is a feel good to the feel good.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that would be 2 years in prison that he's getting for this. But still, the headline, guy wants to lure men from the internet to go to his house and rape his ex-wife.
My God.
That's your feel good.
What a country.
That's the feel good for today. So that's all I've got for you.
Wow.
When we come back, watch out, Jack. He's got radioactive blood. I'm serious. The web slinger, the man that invented Spider-Man, Stan Lee.
Cool.
If you want to go take a walk or something for the next half hour.
I'm going to start with you, and I'll let you know. And if I start looking out the window and annoying you like I do when I do that, I will just get up and I will come back. But I think I appreciate this man's contribution to pop culture.
I love it.
How can you not? We're talking Spider-Man, right? The Incredible Hulk.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic Four, mm-hmm. Iron Man, Captain America.
I mean, this guy really is something.
But Spider-Man was the coolest, even cooler than Batman, because mm-hmm. Spider-Man, when I was a kid, when I read the comics, had problems.
Yeah, neurotic, and human.
He was always getting beat up. He never had any money. It was like, he always wanted to tell people so bad, I'm Spider-Man, and then something
would
happen.
Did we have him on before?
Stan Lee? Never.
Never?
Never had Stan Lee
so,
on.
So can we ask him all about how, you know, where did he get the idea of Peter Parker and having it a kid and stuff like that?
Yeah. We have time, Mike.
I mean, that's done. Ladies and gentlemen, that's code for let me handle this.
So, Stan Lee, when we come right back, everybody.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gee whiz, gang. Looks like the killer gutted the victim, strangled him with his own intestines, and then dumped the body in the river. You're right, Scoob. We're dealing with one sick son of a bitch.
The Don and Mike Show. They always play the card card. Don and Mike.
Right. Go fish. Okay, we have Stan Lee's phone number here. We turn off the NXS and turn on the... Spider-Man. Does whatever a spider can.
Yeah.
Listen, bud, he's got radioactive blood.
Here comes the Spider-Man.
That's right. The original theme.
The cartoon, right.
Right.
Okay, so it's Stan Lee, the guy who invented Spider-Man.
Cool.
Please bear with me, ladies and gentlemen.
I am going to let you enjoy yourself. I will sit over here quietly. If there is something that I am curious about, I will try to interject with as minimal a lack of knowledge as is humanly possible.
I can only think of two other guests that we've ever had on the show. Mm-hmm. Even when we had Batman on, Adam West.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I didn't feel this need to just tell him everything I'd ever wanted to tell him. Mm-hmm. When we had Bob Kane on.
Yeah, I will warn you, though, remember, you do want to ask some questions. You don't want to take up the whole hour by professing how much you know about Spider-Man.
No, and I have many questions.
Oh, good. Because otherwise, Don, it would be very selfish and uninformative.
T.S. It was when we had Bob Kane on. Uh-huh. And also when we have John Madden on. I love monopolizing the conversation when he's on.
I know. And but you let me get in with this one. You have fun.
Because it's Stan Lee.
Yeah.
I mean, it's clobbering time. I was a member of the Merry Marvel Club.
Oh, entertainment.
Hello, hey, Stan?
Extension, you may enter it at any time during this announcement.
Oh, my.
For Stan, press 1.
Oh, there you go.
For Gil.
you almost thought that it was going to be like Mike.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, Stan?
Yeah, one moment. Let me get him for you.
Thank you.
So is this the interview?
Yeah, Don and Mike, right here.
One moment.
What if we went through all that? It was Mike like George Bush.
How are you?
Pretty cool guy he is, Stan Lee.
Oh.
Here he is.
Stan's on the line.
Okay, thank you. Stan?
Yeah.
Stan Lee.
Yeah.
All right.
May I preface this? I will tell you, Stan Lee, my partner, Don Geronimo, is, I believe, your biggest fan in the entire world.
No, he's not.
No?
Damn.
You are. There you go.
Okay, Stan, here's the deal. I give you the straight skinny. I'm 45.
Uh-huh.
When I was a kid, I read DC until I was open to the world of Marvel Comics.
Mm-hmm.
Marvel Comics, and Mike, this is the biography part that I will keep.
I understand.
Short.
Yes, discipline yourself. That's fine.
The magic of Marvel Comics was that they showed superheroes as regular people with regular problems, and it was nowhere was it more just out front than with Peter Parker as Spider-Man.
Right.
Because Peter Parker would have the same problems that all the kids had.
Right.
Even though he was Spider-Man. Stan Lee, first off, you're a genius for inventing this. Second, after the first movie, I thought, I've never seen a movie that was more like the comic book coming to life. After the second one, I thought, the second one is even better than the first one at making it look like the comic book. And as I'm watching the second one, I'm trying to explain to my wife, saying, oh, my God, they're taking everything from the comic book, because there was a part in the comic book where Aunt May...
Is Stan still on the line? I just wanted to make sure.
Oh, sure.
So, okay, I just wanted to double check.
I'm loving every word.
All right, very good.
So I'm explaining to my wife during the movie, I'm saying, you know, what they've done is they've taken about 2 years of the Spider-Man comic and just smashed it into this movie, because you had all of the parts in Spider-Man 2 when Peter Parker is considering giving up being Spider-Man. He doesn't think it's worth it. Aunt May hates Spider-Man. Everybody's beating him up. Jameson is saying that he's a crook and he's helping people. Okay, here's my question. How did you get the movie to be so much like the comic that it would make nerds like me ecstatic, yet make people who never read the comic book enjoy the movie so much?
I have a confession to make.
Okay.
I had nothing to do with it.
I know.
They selected those parts of the comic to make the movie out of, and I was absolutely thrilled. You know the part where he gave up being Spider-Man and
right.
took his costume off?
Right.
Well, that was from a story I did called Spider-Man No More.
Don't I know it?
And they even took the cover scene, which showed the costume lying again and him walking away.
Hold on.
That same shot.
Stan, hold on. I'm really out of my mind on this. I swear to Christ, I'm in the theater last week with my wife, and I said to my wife, that was the cover of The Amazing Spider-Man.
Because, recognized it.
Of course, because it's got his uniform in the garbage can.
I hope, Stan, I hope you understand, and maybe by the end of this interview you will, how excited I am. I've been working with this guy for 20 years, and I have never, ever seen him this excited to have somebody on the show.
Oh, man.
And I am not lying about that.
Now, you've got to do me a favor.
Yes.
Nobody is going to believe this. When this is over, you've got to send me a tape of the show.
Forget it.
I can play it to the guys in the studio.
Absolutely.
Listen, here's the thing with Stan Lee. As a kid, when I discovered Spider-Man, and I guess I was 10 or 11, I started reading it.
Right.
Here is the difference between Marvel and DC. The Marvel characters were more realistic, and Stan Lee, at the very back when they had the letters to the editor, would always have Stan's soapbox. And he would just write what was happening with the comics, who was drawing the comics. And I actually got the feeling that if you wrote in something and enough kids wrote in saying, hey, we don't like Spider-Man, we don't like Peter Parker going out with Mary Jane, should go out with somebody else, you might actually do what the kids were thinking. Is that true, or was that just me being a dumb...
Of course I did. In fact, I should have sent you money because you and the other fans made my job so easy. I didn't have to think. I didn't have to know anything. I would just read the mail, do what the letter said, and bingo, everybody said, gee, it's great, you know how to write stuff that people like. Well, why not? They told me what they liked.
That is a very honest, very, very honest statement.
And what about this? When you would join the Mary Marvel Society, which I did, and you would get your button that said, it's clobbering time. Man, am I there.
The kick out of that club, you know?
Am I there.
The card that entitled you to all the privileges. Whatever they were.
That's great.
There were no privileges, but you don't know. When you were
it was like when you'd win a no prize.
But when you were a kid and you get an envelope in the mail and the return address says Marvel Comics, New York, and you open it up and there's a little card in there and you've got a pin that says it's clobbering time, you're on top of the world.
You're killing me.
You're on top of the world.
You're one of the very select lucky few of the 800,000 or 900,000 who were privileged to get that.
Okay, so now I think I've got that out of my system with the fact that
it was music to my ears.
Oh, and listen, Stan, and also I don't want to forget Steve, who was the guy that did a lot of the drawing on this.
Oh, yeah, and a lot of the helping with the plots as we moved along.
I saw that he got a nice credit at the beginning of the second movie.
Yeah, well, he deserved it.
Besides Spider-Man, you had all of the other Marvel characters that you brought to life.
And you know something? Every one of them are in development to be feature films now.
Wow.
Oh, and I would think that would follow what you mentioned before, that the reason you liked the Marvel comics is because they were more real.
Uh-huh.
And the storylines were more real. And I would imagine that makes for better fodder for making feature films. Wouldn't you agree?
It's easier.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Hey, don't you think that dude that played Doc Ock, don't you think he looks just like he did in the comics?
Oh, he was perfect. He was, in fact, the whole casting was perfect.
Yeah.
I mean, you couldn't have improved on any of it.
I'll tell you, everybody said...
The only one that bothered me, I had always wanted to be Jonah Jameson.
Oh,
I got to admit that Simmons was better at it than I could have been.
No, he is. He is with the cigar butt in his mouth.
Oh, just the editor?
The editor of the paper.
You know, when I saw the first one, Stan, and I am not, I must admit, not a comic book aficionado, but I will tell you that character in the first one, the editor, I found him to be really one of the best parts of the movie. He was hysterical in that.
Yeah, well, you see, I always tried to put humor in all the things I did, and I was able to get some really good humor out of Jameson.
Can I ask you a question? And I'm not, but I mean, Peter Parker, where does that, I mean, obviously, you know, you're very, very modest, and you give the readers credit for some storylines, but obviously the readers don't create these characters, and I will just ask you a specific, with Peter Parker, with that whole concept, where did that come from, Stan?
Gee, I don't remember. I've made up a story. I've told it so often it might even be true. I have to have a story when people ask me.
I'm sure you get asked that a lot.
I what happened was, I was trying to dream up a new superpower, because as you know, every new superhero needs a new power, a different superpower.
Right.
I already had the strongest guy in the world. I had people who could fly. I was thinking, what's new? And lo and behold, I saw a fly on the wall, crawling up the wall near my desk. And I said to myself, hey, wouldn't it be cool if I had a character who could crawl on water? Well, I think I'm lying, because in those days, I didn't have the word cool. I probably said, wouldn't it be groovy? But at any rate, I thought that's what I would do. But then I had to get a name for him, so I figured Fly Man, nah.
No.
Mosquito Man,
nah.
Insect. Now, I went down the list, and when I got to Spider Man, it just sounded mysterious.
He's great.
Dramatic. But I'm going to let you in on a little secret, if I may.
Sure.
I spelled Spider-Man with a hyphen between spider and man.
Oh, you did?
The reason I did was so that it wouldn't look too much like Superman on a masthead.
Oh, I got
would
you.
Would never want people to confuse it with Superman. But most people leave out the hyphen in the newspapers.
Yeah.
At Marvel, they sometimes forget it. But I want you to know that anytime you see it without the hyphen, I want you to register a very strong protest to whoever has done that.
And let's not forget, he's the amazing Spider-Man. And the thing that I liked also when I was a kid and still do today, when he would swing by and save somebody, they'd say, oh, Spider-Man. He'd go, just your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. he would save.
Well, I love to come up with expressions that people could repeat. I think one of the things that really knocked me out the most, you know that saying, with great power comes great responsibility?
Oh, I do love that.
Well, I got a letter from the Attorney General of Rhode Island. He's a big fan, apparently. And he took that and he put it in some sort of a bronze plaque, and he has it outside his wall. And he had a big ceremony for the installation of the plaque. It was incredible.
That's wow. Great.
You know, in the movie, of course, Tobey Maguire is, it truly is Peter Parker, exactly as you guys dreamed him up.
Couldn't have cast a better guy.
Exactly as he was drawn. It plays him exactly like the comic books. But the actress who plays Aunt May.
Isn't she great?
I mean, and you have to, this is why the movie struck such a chord with me. Because I read these comics when I was a kid. And then to see Tobey Maguire, who looks like Peter Parker and pulls it off. But this actress that plays Aunt May.
Right.
Mike, if you went back and got an old Spider-Man comic book.
Right.
Or Amazing Tale, whatever it was, the first one he was in. I mean to tell you, this Aunt May, it's the same thing.
But well, you know the great thing about it, Sam Raimi, who directed it, is as big a fan as you are. So he
yeah.
knew just what to do. He knew who to cast and how to have them act the roles.
And you have to love this. In the first one, I loved it, and even more so in this. In the comic books, you had the feeling, you guys drew it with different angles, almost pop art, while keeping a bit of realism for comic book fans. But when Spider-Man would shoot the web out and swing from building to building through Manhattan, that is something that is duplicated in the movie, which still to this day, I'm going to sound like the biggest homo in the world, it gives me chills because it truly is a comic book come to life. And it must be this director who read the comics, who saw the way it was drawn.
That's exactly the case.
Yeah, and here's the only thing. Did you get mad that Spider-Man's webs just naturally come out of his arms in the movie?
No, because I was convinced that cinematically that was the best way to do it.
Because
you know something? I'll tell you another inside story. Originally, years ago, James Cameron was the guy who was going to write and direct the movie.
Right.
For some reason or other, it ended up he didn't do it, but he had written an outline for what the movie should be, a treatment. In his treatment, he did the same thing. He didn't use the web shooter, but the webbing was organic. So I figured if a genius like Jim Cameron and another genius like Sam Raimi wanted to do it that way, I was not going to object.
Because you see, in the movie, Spider-Man had the stuff built in. It was stuff that he had in his uniform.
Okay, and it was in the movie, yeah, and in the comic books, it's like a shooter.
Yeah, and a lot of times in the comics, he'd be swinging from building to building, and he'd press on the button, and he would run out.
Web fluid.
He would run out of web.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
wow.
And that was the only thing in the movie that even just barely was not exactly like the comic book.
Right.
But I can deal with that fine. Now,
I think as a movie version of something that had been previously written, I think that Spider-Man hewed closer to the original than any movie I've ever seen.
I agree. How many years did you have to wait? I know that you had a legal battle with Marvel and with Sony and all these other people. How many years did you have to wait to finally see your greatest creation on the big screen? How many years?
Well, look at it this way. I wrote it, I created it in 1942, I think.
Wow.
It took till now. No, I had no battle with Sony. I just have a little dispute with Marvel, and I refer to it as the friendliest lawsuit on record. We have a little disagreement about a part of my contract, and we're going to let a judge settle it. That's all.
All right, I got you. And everything cool with you and that company, Toy Biz?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. See, they made a bunch of the Spider-Man toys the first time around.
Right.
I don't know if Stan got his cut of the money. Are you getting a cut of the, like, the web shooters that they're selling now, the Spider-Man?
I don't get a cut out of anything.
You don't get a cut of any of that?
Nope.
That's amazing.
What, they just,
not a penny.
They just
all get, I get is a chance to do a lot of great interviews like this with great guys like you.
Oh, that's nice of you, Stan. Thank you very much.
Stan, besides Spider-Man, let me think of other questions.
The question I would have, you said that all the characters and all the comic books are in development to be feature films. What's next on the list? What do you have coming up?
The next one is the Fantastic Four.
Yeah. Oh, and Michael Chiklis is the guy who's
the leading
candidate to play the thing.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Oh, I think that movie will be terrific.
Now, what about Iron Man? You're going to make an Iron Man?
Works. I don't know who's playing the role. There was talk for a time that Nick Cage might, but I don't know.
Oh, he'd be great. Now, tell me something. If Spider-Man, not Spider-Man, if Iron Man is in the movies, will he be wearing the original suit, which was just dark gray, or will he be wearing the suit that's...
You know something? Your guess is as good as mine.
You got to go with the red...
I don't really have anything to say about the movies. Mm. The only thing... I'm lucky enough, they usually give me a little cameo in each one.
And I saw your cameo in both of them, and it's...
That's because you didn't blink your eye.
Because I'm looking for you. Now Stan Lee, this to me is amazing. You've created a cultural icon that's become the biggest movie in the last, I don't know, how many years. Don't you want to just run down the street and say to all these kids that are wearing the Spider-Man pajamas and the web shooters and the...
My daughter, I have a nine-year-old daughter. I mean, and that, it still, usually with kids, especially that in that age group, and you're talking about 7, 8, 9, usually in that age group, these things pass. And I will tell you that the most lingering thing is the Spider-Man, and she loves Spider-Man. She's not over it yet, and she started. Well, how many years ago the first movie came out? A year or two ago?
2 years ago.
2 years ago. She loved it then. She still loves it, and I can still get her Spider-Man stuff, and she totally digs it.
That's great. Well, I know I go to the stores, and there's nothing but Spider-Man material.
Nothing. I mean, you can't. I mean, it's all over the place. And now, of course, with the new movie out, even more. And I think that's. I just think really that is a crime that you don't get a little taste of that. Don't tell me.
Tell the judge.
Okay. I hope. And you know, really, I do hope your lawsuit works out. I really do.
Thanks a million. That's real nice.
Let me ask you one more thing about the comic book, because back when I was a kid, it was important to me. I had two favorites, Batman and Spider-Man, and they were obviously very different. And at a young age, I figured out Spider-Man was being written, and he was being presented to me as a kid in a way that said, hey, kid, we don't think you're stupid. Do you get what I'm saying? I mean, I liked Batman and Superman because they would find the bad guys, they'd fly over, drive over, they'd beat them up. Spider-Man, on the other hand, if he had to catch a bad guy, if Peter Parker was out of his web stuff, he'd have to take the subway. And if he didn't...
You know, the whole story behind it is I tried to write stories that I myself would like to read. And I used to hate stories about superheroes, which was most of them at the time, that had no personal lives. They were just guys, and they'd see a crime being committed, put on their costume, and say, I'd better go catch that guy. And I thought, wouldn't it be fun to write about characters who have personal lives and who have problems in their personal lives the way everyone else does? And that was really, I think, the big difference.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably why the movies are so successful, because they maintain that. And
the only thing that's not in the movie that was in the comics, and I guess it would be hokey to put in the movies, but in the comics, when the Spidey senses would go off, all these squiggly lines would come out of Spider-Man's head, so you would know that, he's hearing something or seeing something.
Right.
Yeah. But you know what they did?
What'd they do?
You remember in the thing with Doc Ock and Spidey 2?
Right.
When that car was about to come crashing through the window when Peter Parker is talking to Mary Jane?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
But you saw a close-up of his eyes and the way his eyes looked.
That was a Spidey sense?
Reacting to something, and I think Sam felt that was the closest he could get to the squiggly lines without seeming corny.
And for Spider-Man 3, is the Sam going to direct it again?
I fervently hope so. I think he will.
Okay. Well, God, I would hate for the first two to be so great and the third one not to be so great.
Yeah. No, I'm betting he will. I spoke to him. He seems to have every intention.
Who will be our next villain? Who is the next villain in Spider-Man 3?
Well, I can't tell, but there were a couple of hints in the movie.
Well, it's going to be with the Green Goblin's son. It'll be...
Had one arm?
Pardon me?
Do you remember the professor who had one arm?
Oh, yes!
Well, now, that could be a hint.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's
Do you remember our character, the Lizard?
Oh, now the Lizard was another professor that went crazy, Mike.
I thought you were going to say, do I?
And he would turn into like Godzilla, except he would still have his professor coat on around when he would be walking around. he was great. Did you come up with all the villains, or was it a...
Oh, sure.
And the other thing about Marvel Comics was, if you read the back, as I did, they would talk about the bullpen. Which is at Marvel Comics, and what I pictured in
my
mind...
What's that, like the think tank?
Yeah, what I pictured in my mind was a bunch of guys sitting around talking about ideas, and then Stan Lee would actually write this stuff in the comics for any kid that wanted to find out. It was a way to figure out what was happening inside Marvel Comics.
I got a secret to tell you.
All right.
The bullpen consisted of me, a secretary, a couple of guys who did lettering... And any freelancer that would walk in to deliver his work and then go home again.
Well, I was a kid. You fooled me.
I created the bullpen in my columns in order to give a feeling of camaraderie and so forth, and a feeling of warmth and friendship. But it wasn't quite that way.
All right. And last thing here. What about the ads? And they weren't so much as like full page ads. If you went to the back where they had letters to the editor and Stan's soapbox, they would have little vignettes about upcoming issues, like, for instance, say, Iron Man 27 watches Tony almost loses his life, and they would be written tongue-in-cheek.
Naturally,
so,
I wrote them.
if you're a kid, you would read it, and you go, oh, wow, that sounds cool. Then you'd read it again, you go, hold on, it's a goof. It's like, I can't describe the way that they were written, but they were written in a way that was a cross between Mad Magazine and a real comic.
Yeah, okay. Well, I was a big fan of Mad, but listen, I don't want to leave you with the wrong impression. I'm not saying that the next villain will be the Lizard, because also they threw you a clue about the Green Goblin.
Right, with Hobgoblin. I mean, uh-huh.
I really don't know who it'll be.
No, we do.
Your guess is as good as mine.
No, it's going to be Harry Osborn's kid. Come on, it's got to be. You know it will be. Except
I think it will.
I think it will, too. And how far do you think in the next movie they'll take the relationship with Peter Parker and Mary Jane?
You know, that's an interesting question, and again, your guess is as good as mine. I know in the comics, I eventually had him get married.
No, I like that. I like
but,
that.
My guess is it'll be a long time in the movies before they marry, but then I don't know.
You won't have any coitus.
The producers and what does Sam want to do.
You won't have any coitus with them in the movie, will you?
What?
Any coitus? Any deviant coitus? I mean, because that...
Idiot word.
There was none of that in the comic. Mm-hmm. There was, although I'll tell you something.
They never got together in the comic book?
They did, but you never saw it. Yeah. And I'll say this to
you. Any sexual stuff?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, coitus.
That was all in the borders and the margins.
And if you liked Betty and Veronica, if you thought they were hot when you were a kid, you're missing out if you didn't check out Spider-Man and you didn't see the way that they drew Mary Jane.
Well, and
you know the one thing that I'm sorry they didn't have in the book?
What's that?
I don't know if you remember the issue where he first met Mary Jane, but I thought this was one of the best things I had written, and they weren't able to do it. Aunt May had been wanting him to meet Mary Jane for years. She would tell him about this nice girl she knew who she thought Peter would like. Now, no teenager in the world wants to meet a girl his aunt recommends, especially if she says she's a nice girl.
Right.
So finally, when he finally met her, the story ended. It happened on the last panel. Peter was trying to avoid her or something. I don't quite remember. He's starting to leave the house. He opens the door, and there she is standing in the doorway, the most gorgeous creature that our artist John Romita could draw. Peter looks at her with his eyes wide open, And she says, face it, Tiger, you hit the jackpot. Everybody remembers that, and I'm so sorry they couldn't have put that in the movie.
Yeah. Well, still, you know, Kirsten Dunst, as good as Tobey Maguire is, Kirsten Dunst with the red hair is perfect as Mary Jane.
Equally good, yeah.
Listen, what can I say? You're one of my heroes. I love comic books. I love the fact that this was a comic book movie that was really like the comic book.
Right. And you like what you're telling him, and because he said he didn't have anything to do with the movie, what you're telling him is you like his comic book.
Of course, yeah. I love the comics.
You notice I never interrupt when people are saying nice things.
I love the comic books. I guess the thing is, as a 10 or 12-year-old kid, I felt you weren't writing down to me.
Okay, I understand.
You get what
I'm
saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I continued to read them, and I continue to read Spider-Man today. I read Spider-Man. Is he still in the newspapers?
Oh, I still do the newspaper strip, sure.
Yeah, I still check that out, too.
I think it's the only newspaper strip that has lasted this long. You know my one regret, though?
What?
I was best friends with Bob Kane, who created Batman.
Right.
And we always used to kid. He used to kid me. Well, there's Batman on the screen. Where is Spider-Man? And I'm so sorry that he isn't around today, so we can still talk about the merits of the two characters.
Oh, well, listen, and I love Batman, too, but you'd rub his face in it. Because Batman is Tim Burton's version, much as Sam Raimi is your version.
Well,
but
Burton was a genius, too.
Yeah, but it wasn't like the comics. I mean, and I loved Batman, but Spider-Man is just like the comic. Just like.
God, I've never seen
you. You know, you're a great human being.
I've never seen you get this worked up for anything.
Hey, well, now that the introduction is over, when do we start doing
it? We're done.
What a pleasure. You're a very good guy, Stan. It's been great having you on the show.
I got to tell you, I enjoyed every minute of it. You guys are great.
Thank you. And listen, it's clobbering time. And Mary Marvel, Marching Society, and everything.
And Nup Said and Excelsior.
Oh, that was another thing. That was another thing. It was apostrophe N-U-F-F. Like,
that's right.
Nup Said.
Well, you spell it.
Right.
Nup Said.
Now listen, don't hesitate. Don't fail to call me after Spider-Man 3 comes out and after the Fantastic Four come out.
Hey, listen, I won't hesitate to call you this weekend after I've had a couple of beers.
Okay, guys, I got to go now. I'm way past my worrying time.
All right, see you, Stan.
Thank you, Stan.
All
bye-bye.
Right, great talking to you.
Bye-bye.
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 What a guy.
Well, there he is.
We have had many people on this show. No one has ever been treated consistently with that much adoration. No.
I'm a retard.
It was so much. It was actually, I feel like an adult and you're a kid. And I felt like, I feel the same way when I'm watching my kids enjoy something. I've never seen you get more into that.
I'm a retard. I really am. But the thing is, and I was saying that to my wife, I swear to you, she told me I'm a retard in the movie. When I said, look at that, that's just like the comic book.
But you know, the thing is, Spider-Man, for those of us that don't even read the comics, is great entertainment. I like watching it with my kids. I really
not
do.
Alone. Oh. Where's that? There it is. Okay, phone scan time. Phone scan time. I'm going to have to go get a change of clothes.
Yeah.
And you're going to need to call 877-365-3636 now if you want to get on the phone scan.
You ought to get, what we ought to do is send a tape of this interview to Stan Lee, and what you should do is, as we send the tape, maybe write a little note. Could I get something signed?
Oh,
I think he'd do that for you in a heartbeat.
He'd be happy. Though. How about my underpants? Oh, do you think he'd sign my underpants for
that
me?
That probably would ruin the relationship. And I noticed your henchman back there couldn't escape any interview without coitus. And I know that's what came from him.
Of course it did. What about coitus?
He couldn't stand it anymore.
No. What about
he could not stand it anymore.
Spider-Man coitus. All right, anyway, that's Stan Lee. He's the guy that made up Spider-Man.
How old is Stan Lee?
He's got to be pushing 70.
Okay,
all right. Phone number here, 877-365-3636.
Did he say he created Spider-Man in 47?
42.
1942. Yeah. So, I'd say he's past 70.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, because he would have to be at least 15 when he thought of it.
He might be dead.
Buzz, how old were you when you first met Stan Lee?
Well, I was away at war. I was 21, and it was cold.
It was cold. Hello, who's this on the inside line?
It's BA.
Hi, BA.
He's 80.
80?
Wow. Hey, man, he's still going strong.
80, getting it done. Thanks, BA.
You're welcome.
All right. Phone scan right here, right now. These are unscreened phone calls. Anybody can call 877-365-3636. Your calls on the phone scan are next.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I say to everyone here today and to all Californians, my oath and you.
This hobby show going crazy.
Forget it. I'm halfway home. The Don and Mike Show.
Joe.
Forget it. It was Stan Lee. Forget it. He's out there.
80-year-old Stan Lee.
Wow.
Yeah, still getting it done. Okay, phone scan time. Here we go. 877-365-3636. From anywhere in America, including Tampa Bay, our newest market. Canada, 800-636-1067. And Washington, D.C., 202-432-1067. We'll fly through these calls because we have Chuck Barris in our next break.
Wow. Yes, and he's written another book too, right?
Yes, and I will not be fawning over him the way I did over Stan Lee.
Yeah, but I got to warn everybody, you like him too.
Not like Stan Lee, but I do like Chuck Barris.
Sure. And Chuck Barris had a very good time last time he was on the show.
Yeah, so. He's a good guy. Hey, Don and Mike Show, phone scan. Hello?
Don, Mike, good afternoon. How are you guys?
We're doing great, thank you.
Great. Hey, listen, you know, I've listened to your show for a while now out here in Salt Lake City, and I have to say that interview with Stan Lee was probably one of the most phenomenal interviews I've ever heard you guys done.
Well, you have
to.
Let me just say, you have to be a Basement Society member. You know, if you're in the society of guys that live in the basement like I do,
right?
Then you probably really got into it.
I loved it, and just hearing, you know, some of the old hearing you get excited about some of the old villains and stuff like that, and you going, "Oh, I remember that comic," made me sit here and think, "Wow, I happen to remember some of those." But one character, I think, I have no idea if he would be able to be, you know, placed into any of the upcoming movies or whatever, but would be Kingpin. You remember him?
Yeah. Now, didn't they use Kingpin in Daredevil though?
I know he was. I know he used. He was against Daredevil quite a bit. But
see,
I
now we're losing Mike.
We're losing Mike. I can't play Mike.
That was it.
It's the basement of the science.
Well, you mentioned Daredevil, and then Ben Affleck creeped into my mind, and then I looked out the window.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. As I say, if you like that last interview, you're a nerd like
see,
me.
See, here's the deal, though. For those of us not in the life, as we will call it, I will tell you that Spider-Man...
You say that like I'm a faggot?
Well, it's just in the life of comic books, in the life of Answer Me These Questions 3. The thing is, Spider-Man is a little different.
Yeah.
I will even say it's a little different than Batman. And I really...
Definitely.
I go back and look at the Batman movies, and I don't like the Batman movies, because it's just how manic and weird can we be when that's really not the way the Batman comics were, right?
No, and Spider-Man is
this very... I mean, to take a comic book and to get that emotion in the movie, you know, with Tobey Maguire, it's a totally different animal, and I think that's why the movies are such a big hit.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Yeah, this is kind of off topic, but you guys really need to bring back Make Us Laugh.
Oh, we've done that before. Yeah,
it's still around.
Yeah, we still do that. Yeah, just chill. We'll get to it.
All right.
And I'd like to see, you know, the one comic book that's never been turned into a movie that I'd like to see.
Is?
Little Annie Fanny.
Oh, yeah. That was not so much a comic book as just a page at the end of Playboy magazine. A
couple of pages.
Yeah.
Sometimes three.
And a character.
I loved Little Annie Fanny.
So real. Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Pamela Anderson.
Perfect. Hello. Yeah, you know, I'm trying to think of somebody else with red curly hair and big, but no, it would have to.
She was blonde.
Yeah.
Little Annie Fanny was a blonde.
Was Little Annie Fanny blonde?
Yeah. But she was a blonde.
Yeah.
Did you feel that they wrote down to you on that?
I did.
Hello.
I didn't care, though.
Hello.
I sure like them pictures.
Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hello.
Don.
Yeah.
Hey, tongue-tied. First time getting through to you all. I want to say you guys rock.
Thanks.
Also, I want to know what's happening at O'Meara's tonight. I went there last Tuesday, and they said that I just missed Mike.
Thanks. Look around, cafe.
It's the standard line, sir.
Mm-hmm.
All the employees are trained to say that.
Oh, you just missed him.
Actually, that's not the way. It's he's just about to come in.
Why don't you sit down and have a drink? Mike will be here momentarily.
Thanks. Hey, look around, cafe.
Buzz, was it Rob? It was you, right? Where we went to BB King's down in Memphis, Tennessee,
all of us, yeah.
And we all went down to BB King's, and we were sitting there, and you know, we all wanted to see BB King. It's his restaurant. He's going to get up and play. Every employee, like five employees, bartenders, waitresses, waiters, they all would say, BB's coming in tonight.
Yeah,
BB
respecting him.
Yeah,
respecting him tonight.
We expect BB. So it's 1 o'clock in the morning. We are very festive. And we're like, when's BB coming in? We expect him, and apparently... they say that every single night.
Brilliant. Well, they do that at your place, too, now.
Yeah,
right. That's good. That's good. That's Mike using the old noodle.
Because it's so darn exciting. Hey, I might be there tonight.
That's right. Mike is going to come in tonight and do his cabaret show.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, guys.
Hey, you're on the air. Hi.
Hey, I love your show, man. Omer's is rocking. Everything's great about you guys' show. Late.
That's it. That's all I have to say.
Hi, Don and Mike. Hello.
Don.
Yes, I am. Hi.
I have a theory for Spider-Man 3 for the villain.
Pardon me?
I have a theory for the villain for Spider-Man 3.
I'm afraid of the villain for Spider-Man 3.
I'm afraid I have to hang up on you now,
it's
sir.
It's very exciting.
Hello, Don and Mike.
How you doing, guys?
You know what I'm dying to do, though?
What?
Call my wife and tell her that I talked to Stan Lee and tell her. Because my wife...
Will she appreciate how jacked you got about it?
Yeah, oh, because she had... I mean, I wasn't making it up. When we were in the movie, I leaned over to her and I said, that scene where they put his suit in the garbage, I swear to God, that was the cover of the comic book. I mean, that's how retarded I was in this movie.
And what did she say to that?
Shut up. Shut up. I love Don and Mike.
How you doing, guys?
Hey, we're doing great.
Good, kid. Well, welcome back from your vacation. There was some funny stuff and the best stuff, I got to tell you, but it's good to have you back.
Right on. Thank you.
Good. Any more problems with the damn Canadians and the computer board?
Actually, they did some good today, didn't they?
No, although let me just say this, Mike. It was an American who came in and fixed the computer. And as a matter of fact...
Wasn't our head engineering guy? Is that who did it?
Mm-mm. Actually, you know who did a lot of the stuff? The buttons that I was able to push today?
Who?
Winner!
Wendell Hall?
My man, all-American, Mr. NRA, our engineer, Wendell Hall.
Thank you, Wendell.
Wendell got the job done.
Thank you, Wendell.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Right, hi there.
Hey, Don, did you see what happened to the girl on For Lover for Money that you had on the show?
For Lover for Money.
Yeah, now listen, I didn't see this. My wife watched it and told me the girl that we had on, she was the loser.
She got booted. We like
however,
that. She's coming back.
However, she's getting her own show now. Next time, she's going to be the one that picks the guys.
Right. All
right. Right?
Yeah, did you hear what, she could have won $1 million, too. Her check was $1 million. But did you hear what the reason was why the guy didn't pick her?
She had,
mutant syphilis?
She was a garbage can!
Okay. I like yours better.
Thank you.
Hello. Don and Mike show.
That could be your blanket excuse for voting everybody off of reality shows. Mutant syphilis.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Painful shots in the buttocks.
That's right. Alright, here's your survivor challenge tonight. We're going to inject you with mutant syphilis.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hello, Don and Mike?
Yeah, hi there.
Hey, how you doing? It's Nathan from Sacramento.
Hi, Nathan.
Hey, great interview with Stan Lee.
Yes.
I want to tell you, I love your show, and I went to see Spider-Man 2 with my girlfriend last weekend.
Mm-hmm. Hold on. Rob is doing a new version of the Sacramento dance now, Rob.
Understated preemptive strike.
Rob just bent over and pointed to his butt.
Uh-huh. Part of the he dance. Was bad from the word.
Are you going to call the missus right now?
She's at work.
Can't contain it.
Give me a second. Give me a second to pick it up.
Very excited.
Still at work. Hello? Yes, hello? Is Frida there, please?
Yoo-hoo!
Ask who's calling? Mr. Wonderful, her husband.
Very nice.
Who is this, Samantha? Hi, Samantha. Hi. You want to come on the radio? Okay, hold on. Here's Samantha. She works at the place where my wife works.
Hello, Samantha.
Hello.
Hey, Samantha. Would you put Frida on, please?
I sure will. Hold
Thank
on.
You. Thank you. You know, and I could have done it during the commercials, but it's more fun on the radio.
Well, you're excited about it. I mean, you're like a little kid.
But Stan Lee!
And she will share. You're excited, I'm sure.
Right.
Oh, I'm sure she will, Buzz. It's just another one of the many things we have in common.
I know.
Hello.
Hi, baby.
Hi, sweetie.
Guess who we just had on the show?
Was it your idol?
Stan Lee.
I thought so.
I have never, in 20 years, I have never seen him this excited.
Now.
Westbound 66.
Oh, hold on, Beverly. Shut up for a second. Rob, please tell her. I apologize for saying shut up.
Yeah, I'll tell her.
Yeah, tell her.
Shut up, Beverly.
What time are we taping this show?
Baby?
Yeah?
True or not true, when we watched Spider-Man, didn't I say to you, not only did I say over and over, it's like the comics, but do you remember the scene where they threw his suit in the garbage can?
Mm-hmm.
And I said to you,
Oh, my God, that's just like the cover of the comic.
And I was amazed because you are the talking Gestapo in movies, but you could not contain yourself.
Guess what?
What?
Guess what?
What?
He remembered it. He remembered sure. that was the cover of Spider-Man, where Spider-Man gave up being Spider-Man and threw his uniform in the garbage.
It's not surprising that he remembers it. It's more surprising that you remember it, because it's not your livelihood.
Oh, but honey, it was Stan Lee.
John remembers it. Stan remembers it. Stan's son remembers it.
Anyway, I was just very excited, and
and I throw him, and normally he's right on top of that, but not when it's a Stan's son remembers it. Who is Stan's son?
What are you talking about?
No.
You're doing jokes.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Just trying to amuse.
Not now, Mike.
I'm over here. Not now. I shouldn't have even involved
you're
myself.
Doing jokes?
You're doing jokes now. No.
You're doing jokes while I'm trying to tell my wife about our beautiful conversation.
Sorry. I apologize.
Okay, hold on. I'm with you. Who's his son?
Tommy.
It held up. It held up. Yeah. Oh, thank God.
What about his wife?
Who's his wife?
Peggy.
See, the old and the young. I like that. And what about his adopted son?
Who's that?
Bruce.
Oh. And, hey, the trifecta. I'm glad I stuck with it.
Anyway, honey. Yeah, it was Stan Lee, and God damn, was he good.
Well, just promise me you won't get the uniform.
Spider-Man's? I'm past the suits, honey.
All right, love. Thank God. You've grown up.
I'm past the uniforms. All right, I just had to tell you he was on it. All the stuff that I told you in the movie, he just affirmed all of that.
And he said it was the best interview he's done in years.
Oh, God. Well, I know you just feel like making love to Beth Ann now.
Why do I feel like making love to Beth Ann?
Didn't she call him?
She brought you, Stan Lee. She brought Stan Lee to you.
Tell her
the truth. You're ready to make love to Beth Ann now because she brought you Stan Lee.
That's right. Am I getting your okay to make love to Beth Ann?
No, I just said I know you're ready. I doubt if she's ready, so I'll give you my okay.
All right. Anyway, honey.
All right.
Love you.
Love you too, sweet pea.
Stan Lee kicked ass.
Good. I'm glad you're happy.
And all that stuff I told you in the movie, I told the same stuff to him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he was probably interested in listening.
Okay.
All right.
Good. How was work?
It's fine. It's very good. It's nice here. There's no Stan Lee's. There's not that kind of excitement here. But
right. Yeah, you got just a Joe job.
Yeah.
You don't get to talk to Stan Lee.
No. All right, boo-boo.
Okay.
I'll see you tonight.
See you then.
All right. Bye, my boy.
Goodbye.
Like, I knew she'd be excited.
It's nice to have a special someone you can share those really moments. Important things with.
Yeah. You're so excited. You called your wife to brag.
I did.
That's very cool.
That's retarded. That really is retarded.
Hey, you like what you like.
Yeah.
You had your face in those comic books for your whole life.
Be proud. Embrace it. And now, Mike, I promise to pay full attention when you're making jokes.
That's fine. That's fine.
Doing jokes. Is it when you're doing jokes?
Yeah.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike, I got a couple things for you. Venom could be a villain for the third Spider-Man.
Okay, hold on. Now there's too much Spider-Man chatting here. Hello, Don and Mike.
Yeah, this all reminds me too much of Star Wars. If they could buy wars, we could be Star Wars. And hey, you know that nutty Star Wars bar and all the creatures in there. And hey, Darth Vader with that black and evil mask. Don, does you dig him as much as he digs you?
Get out of here.
Wow.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
What's cool is to have a hero, though, that is, A, you know, somebody that we can talk to, and B, is that animated, and is that into being, I mean, you're very, very fortunate, because I think of heroes that I'd like to have, and you know, my hero would be Buddy Rich the drummer, who is dead now, and if we had him on the show...
Well, we need a shovel.
We need a shovel, and everybody, you know, he wasn't the warmest, friendliest interview in the world, either.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Don and Mike.
He might warm up to you.
I interviewed him, and I interviewed him when I was in college and for my college radio station, and you know what? Oh, no.
Oh, no, he was a mean guy?
He wasn't mean. He just was, I guess the word curt would be the best. I said, I've heard some thoughts about, first opening of my interview with Buddy Rich, I heard you heard some thoughts about country music. What are your personal feelings on it?
None.
That was his first answer, and I'm sitting there, you know, with the pucker factor just going, yeah.
So, you know, you had to forgive him if he was curt with you, because time was of the essence. Mr. Wolf.
Yeah, I idolized the guy, but not the sweetest guy in the world.
Hello, Don and Mike.
If only I can talk to Harry Truman.
Hello. You'll be able to soon enough, Buzz. Hello.
Three quick things.
Yeah.
Mike, I can't believe you forgot Stanley's other son, the spaceman Bobley.
Oh, the guy that played for the Red Sox?
Yeah.
Bobley?
I'm sorry, but it was Bill Lee.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, Bill Lee.
Disqualification.
Don and Mike, hello.
Bobley.
Billy? Actually, you remember the No Prize in the Marvel Comics?
Yeah, now, listen, we're really going down the nerd highway here.
Sam, we mentioned it, though.
Yes, Spider-Man, Stan Lee,
and I am rapidly losing Mike as an audience, so let's take another call. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello, Phone Scan.
Hi, Phone Scan here.
Hey, Mike, can you tell me who that comedian is that's been on the show, that you went to a show twice in a row? Who's that guy?
Patton Oswalt.
Oh, that's it. Thank you very much.
And fantastic. That CD he has is awesome.
Go to his website.
Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Is it a briefcase?
A secret sound. Get out of here.
Too early to guess.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. That's it? Oh, we got a what does this note say? We have to break because Chuck Barris is coming on next.
Ah, very exciting.
You're the last call. What do you want to say?
Have you seen that new commercial with the 80-year-old people in there acting like L.A. teeny boppers, and at the end they do the bump and grind, man? Have you seen that yet?
What the hell are you talking about?
I have not.
Man, it'll scar you for life. They got these, it's a cell phone commercial. And
I've seen it. I know what you're talking about. It's the guy that's dancing. It's the cell phone commercial.
There is no more annoying old person commercial than the Six Flags commercial.
No. This one's new. At the end, they do this raunchy dance where these two old guys have an old woman in the middle like a sandwich, and the guy in the back's just bumping away, man. I about spit my dinner out last night watching that.
What is the product, sir?
It's some kind of cell phone. I don't remember the company because it was just, I still can't get the vision out of my head.
Yeah. You know where he won me over when he said, I like to spit my dinner out.
You are the last person on the Phone Scan, and what's your name?
Mike.
Mike, where are you from?
Prince Frederick, Maryland.
Right on. You're listening on Baltimore's Live 105?
No, JFK.
Beautiful. Even better. Congratulations. You won an exclusive Don and Mike logo sleeve of Pro V1 golf balls from Golfdom.
And what's going on there in the background, Mike?
I drive a beer truck. I'm back here at the yard now getting ready to inventory the beer truck and call it a day.
And you've also got the Bertucci's gift certificate. Bertucci's, where the passion for authentic Italian brick oven cooking burns every day.
But I was referring, Mike, to the fact that there are sirens in the background.
It's Waldorf, you know what I mean? You know, there's a lot going on.
Waldorf. Yeah.
I hear that. Yeah. I love it. Thank you. Hold on. We got a break. We'll be right back with the great Chuck Barris.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
No. My dear, you know absolutely nothing about prices.
The Don and Mike Show.
Oh, good. Heavens, no. The Don and Mike Show.
Good heavens, no.
Oh, yes, here we go. On the hotline right now, here is our main man, Chuck Barris, the mother Chuck.
Hey, Chuck, how you doing?
Hey.
Now,
this is, I'm really on?
Yes.
Hot dog.
Now, it's been, I don't know, 2 years since we had you on.
A couple of years, yeah.
And yeah. So much has happened. The book came out, the movie came out, the movie's on DVD, and now you have written a follow-up book to the original book, right?
Where you tell everybody about your involvement in the CIA.
Right. This is Bad Grass Never Dies, the sequel to Confessions.
Right, Confessions of a Dangerous Mind. Incidentally, great, great book, an even greater movie. And my son got it for me for Father's Day on DVD.
It's wonderful.
And we watched it again. And the thing about the movie, just like the book, at the very end, you got to wonder, is Chuck Barris nuts or did he really do this?
Yeah. Have you fessed up to whether you are nuts, Chuck?
No, I still haven't fessed up to it because it's really a no-win situation, you know. If I say, oh, yeah, that's right, I'm CIA, then they come and they get me.
Yeah.
If I say, no, I that's my imagination, then the book, you know, the two books lose their mystique and all that kind of thing. So it's really awful, but I just keep hoping that people will read it and enjoy the book for what it is.
Oh, I'll read it. Now, here's a question, Chuck. Does the book address, the new book addresses what's happened to you since the other book became a movie?
Yeah, that's what happened. Like, the new book picks up about two years or a year before the Confessions of a Dangerous Mind ended and goes right up until yesterday. You know, it goes up right up until about a year ago.
Now, do you find after that book and movie came out that you are perhaps approached by strange individuals a little more than you were before?
I've always been approached by strange individuals. particularly when I did the Gong Show, you know, I'd be sitting on an airplane and a perfectly normal looking gentleman would come walking up the aisle and get down on a knee and start doing a lizard, you know, so stuff like that would drive me crazy. But that seems never to have stopped.
Now, the new book, I know it's just a book now, like the other one was just a book. And even though the movie was critically acclaimed, and a lot of people like me are nuts about it, is there any, it didn't, you know, do Spider-Man numbers. Is there any chance that you or George Clooney or any of those guys would make the new book into another movie?
Well, there is that chance. You know, the Confession of a Dangerous Mind was launched at a, I thought, a really bad time. It was Christmas, and all these blockbusters were out there, and we got kind of lost in the shuffle, and I don't think we ever recovered, but it was a good movie, and it was, you know, critically acclaimed and all that type of thing. Now, all the people that did that movie, Charlie Kaufman, who wrote it, George Clooney directed it, Andrew Lazar produced it, they all have read Bad Grass Never Dies, and I think they like it, but I haven't heard them say we'd like to do, you know, the sequel too, but we'll see.
What about Sam, the guy that played you?
Sammy is great. You know, George Clooney insisted that Sam Rockwell play me, or else he didn't want any part of the movie, and they didn't want to lose George, so they took Sam. And Sam was, I thought, was great.
Bad Grass Never Dies.
Yeah.
I'm fascinated by the title. Can you give us any insight into that?
Yeah, that's a weird thing. I had lung cancer, which came as a surprise because I went in for something else and they found it.
Now, is this a maybe made up thing like the CIA, or is this something that really happened?
Now, these are, you know, you got to believe me.
I love that answer.
You got to have faith. But anyway, I went in the hospital and I was sitting there they just operated and I didn't know what the heck was going on and I was really scared. And this young intern was standing right next to the bed and I think he wanted to tell me something to make me feel better and he said, "Don't worry, Chuck, bad grass never dies." And you know, I thought, what the hell is he talking about?
Really?
You know, weeds and I guess bad grass just keep growing no matter what.
Wow.
Okay.
Man, I love that. That's fantastic.
Now, what about, here's something that was really brought forward in the movie, and I don't know if we asked you this last time. Forgive me if I asked you, but I want to ask you again. You were really, in a lot of ways, the father of reality television with the dating game and the answers that you would get from people. It was 30 years ago ahead of its time. A lot of it had to be edited out. Do you have any interest to get into the reality TV game now to see what you could do now?
You know something, I really don't. That was a time. You know, I'm sort of like, I figure, and I may be full of soup, but I think I'm just a product of the time. You know, I did shows like A Dating Game and Newlywed Game, and they all brought spontaneity into television, which never existed before that. And people, they were spontaneous, there were no right or wrong answers. That may have been really the start of reality programming. But I couldn't create the shows they have on there today if they put a gun to my head. I mean, eating bugs and staying on islands and stuff like that, I just can't comprehend them. You know, I lost it after the 70s. You know, I did Palisades Park, and I couldn't write a song for whoever is out there singing now. So, you know, I'm just blocked out. That's where I was, and that's fine.
You know, I'm curious what you think of American Idol. What are your thoughts on that? I mean,
well, when I was doing the shows, that they kept telling me that I was a mean spirited and making fun of my contestants and all that, which I never understood. I really didn't think I was doing that. Maybe I was, but I never thought I was.
It was not.
I look at these shows today, and they really seem mean spirited.
It wasn't. Here's the feeling I got on the Gong Show and the $1.98 Beauty Show. It wasn't those people knew that they sucked. They knew that they were coming.
Right.
They knew that J.P. Morgan was going to hit the gong. You're going to come out and go, "Oh my God, this is awful." You didn't give them the premise that if you come on the Gong Show, you're going to get a recording contract and be the next Clay Aiken.
No, not at all. In fact, it was just the opposite, as you said. You know, people knew what they did, and they came off for that moment, and it was fun. Some guy, occasionally they were a little warped about it. I mean, there was a guy who was a demolition expert from Vietnam who came back, and his act was making faces in a glass, and he got gonged, and he threatened to kill me. He said I ruined his career.
Oh, my God.
You can't make that up.
There's a career for you.
Now, in the new book, besides the allegations about if you did or did not work in the CIA, I'd be curious to know, what else do you write about that's happened? Do you write about people?
Oh, yeah. I took off from France. I sold my company when it was at the height, just before the big boom. You know, I was really brilliant in doing that, and just to pursue a daydream, which was like go to the south of France and pretend and try to be, Hemingway or Fitzgerald, write the great American novel.
Right.
So, if I look back on it, I say that might have been a pretty stupid thing to do, but I had a good time. It was fun.
Yeah.
And that's what the book, it's got a lot of that stuff in it.
So it's really a lot about you and your search for whatever you were looking for, right?
That's about it.
I love that idea.
A travel.
I didn't particularly succeed in all that, but I've had plenty of ups and downs, but I've been going for most of the time is fun. And not fun in a stupid way, but fun in maybe a Walter Mitty sort of way.
Right.
And sometimes it leads me astray and sometimes it doesn't.
Well, I think I'm talking to my hero right now, I swear to God.
Absolutely.
That is, like, you got to do it. You really, what you're saying is kind of like get out there and follow your instincts a little bit.
When I once thought of a show, an idea while I was, after I'd left, and I was thinking I'd come back and try to sell it, but I just never had the desire to go back again. It could never be as much fun as when I was there, originally.
Yeah.
I never did.
You got to take some pride, though, and besides the fact that the book is great and the movie was great and critically acclaimed, like we said, blah, blah, but Sam really took the role of you and played you to an absolute T. He's now looked at as one of those guys, not an A-list actor, but very close to being an A-list actor, based on his portrayal of you. That's cool, right?
Oh, that's extremely cool. He worked hard at that. He didn't just phone that in. He followed me around for months. He took digital camera. He followed me with a camera. He recorded my voice. He watched my mannerisms. He looked at all the old shows. And he worked hard at that, and it showed. I thought he was great. He did win the Best Actor Award at the Berlin Film Festival, which is a very prestigious thing to do, but he didn't get any Golden Globes, he didn't get any Oscars, and not even any nominations, and I always thought that was wrong, but then again, I probably was prejudiced about that.
And I don't know if we asked you before, you've probably been asked a million times, do you ever keep in touch with the Unknown Comic?
I do see the Unknown Comic occasionally. He always really made me laugh because, his whole act was that he just didn't want his other friends to know that he was doing the Gong Show. It was so demeaning. So he put a bag on his head, and he was hysterical. The only problem was he's not funny with the bag off of his head. But I do see him. And they're all good guys. I mean, that was a wonderful time. It really was great.
I know you're on your way to dinner. What will you be enjoying tonight?
It's a little family. It's a restaurant close by. My wife and I go there constantly. We just It's a little Italian restaurant, and it's really nice. So that's where I'm heading now.
Little risotto, maybe?
Yeah, a little risotto. That would be good.
That's my recommendation tonight, Chuck.
That's where I'll definitely do it.
Listen now, is your new book out now? Is it available now?
Yep, it's all over the place, and you can get it. And I loved it. I couldn't put it down, but I hope you feel the same way.
Of course you are. Here's the deal: I'll get the book on Amazon this weekend and read it. And then, if you wouldn't mind, we'd like to book you again in a couple of weeks and rap with you about the book.
Oh, I would love that. So you do that. I'm here. I'm ready for you. And it's always a pleasure to be on.
Always a pleasure for us too, Chuck.
The great Chuck Barris. Okay, well, listen, I'll read the book. Reading's hard for me. Someone will read it to me.
That's right.
And then we'll talk about it in a couple of weeks, okay?
You got it.
Have a great dinner. Thank you, Chuck.
Bye-bye.
Chuck Barris.
That's the mother chucker. Chuck Barris.
You know, I didn't want to ask, and I think I'm going to read the book too, because I think when you consider what he did with the whole CIA, I have always thought that that was born out of maybe like trying to pick up chicks.
Well, you know,
I did not see the movie, so what? I mean, you saw the movie, but you know, you go in and go, yeah, I'm with the CIA, but don't tell anybody, baby.
You know, it almost reminds me, and I saw the movie, he doesn't play it as over-the-top as, you know, in True Lies?
Right, yeah.
When the guy's trying to pick up Jamie Lee Curtis.
Sure, and exactly. Yeah.
Chuck Barris didn't do anything like that in this movie.
Okay.
And a lot of part... Oh, let's get ready for Buzz here. Sorry, Buzz.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden...
A lot of the movie...
...man found a way to bring
Buzz
to his people.
Buzz.
He made it up.
Buzz.
Michael Elston as Buzz Burbank.
Buzz. A lot of the movie just kind of leads you to draw your own conclusions.
Right. Is he married? He's been married for a long time, has he not?
Didn't he marry the chick that was played by Drew Barrymore in that movie?
I believe so. I know that his wife is hot and has red hair, because I remember it from the book. There's a picture of her.
There's a scene in the movie. He's coming home from work one night, and I know that we think that Drew Barrymore looks like she needs a good scrubbing, but
right.
Boy, does she look cute in that movie.
Yeah.
I have to watch that movie.
All right, very good.
All right, the great Chuck Barris. Rob, would you please read that book and write me a report about it over the weekend?
I'll tell you right now, it's a great book.
Great book. It is a great book.
Time for Buzz with the news. Mm-hmm. Buzz, what is your lead story today on the news and the comments?
So today we may soon find out which of our Washington lawmakers are gay.
Oh, really?
Yes, really.
Let me think about that for a second.
Please do.
Let me think. How about Trent Lott?
My God! That is weird! That is a psychic weird moment we just had.
You know why?
Why do we both think of Trent Lott?
Because all square heads are gay. As another one of my great blanket statements.
Mm-hmm. Thank ye.
Square heads are fags.
He is a gay.
It's not Trent Lott, is it?
We don't know yet.
Oh, it would be great if it was
Trent
Lott.
We may soon find out.
It would be great if it was Trent Lott.
Trent Lott. I mean, could you pick anybody better? Trent Lott.
No, you can't.
I couldn't.
Okay, stay tuned. Everybody.
Stay tuned. For news. News and comments
coming and Buzz,
up
coming
on the
up.
Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike Show. That was very
professional. This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Come tickle the toes of Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Looking at the affiliate list. 45 stations. Another six coming on in a few weeks. And I think we got more K's than W's now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, meaning we've got more stations on the left side than the right side.
On the other side of that Mississippi River.
Here you go. Here's some of the stations. Live 105 Dallas. And we're on in the middle of the night there. Portland, Oregon. KLSM, either at 910 or 1390. Las Vegas, KSFM. Salt Lake City, KALL.
Wow.
Those are some of the K's. Time now for Buzz's News, brought to you by Smoke Break. Smokers break the nasty habit without gaining weight. Smoke Break, revolutionary tablet for smokers. Get it now at fine retailers. Here's our friend Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Gay rights activists are threatening to reveal the names of senators and members of Congress who are also gay.
Barbara Mikulski.
They're using this threat against lawmakers who favor a constitutional amendment banning gay marriage. There's a website.
You're not paid to be a canary.
Website named after Vice President Dick Cheney's lesbian daughter. It's called DearMary.com.
Oh, dear.
It's taking out an ad in D.C.'s gay newspaper, The Washington Blade. The ad contains the threat. Quote, if you are gay, end your silence. Stop aiding and abetting those who would make us second-class citizens. If Congress wants to debate our private lives in public, we're going to debate their private lives in public. End
Trent,
quote.
Trent Lott, again, is the name that just, I can't
Trent
get out
Lott,
of my mind.
Barbara McCulkey, any other guesses?
So this is basically an attempt by this organization. They obviously have the names.
They say they do. They believe they do.
And, you know, it could be very, very interesting.
Now, this is
not that there's anything wrong with
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
This is something that a very small amount of people are going to even understand.
Okay.
You know who was possibly the most famous gay senator of all time?
Who?
Frank Howard. Baseball player for the Frank. Washington Senators.
Yes, yes, the big tall Frank Howard.
He's a big fag.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
The webmaster.
Him and Boog Powell.
Boog Powell, both similar guys. They shacked up together.
Faggots.
Well, the webmaster at DearMary.com says there are lots of politicians and others on Capitol Hill who could be outed. Also, from our not that there's anything wrong with that
forget,
department.
Yes.
Yes.
Always,
yes. Always, yeah.
Always,
yes.
Yes,
yes, is a fact. The big talk among reporters right now, especially photographers along the campaign trail, is the frequent touching between Democratic presidential candidate John Kerry and his running mate, John Edwards.
It's on the cover of the Post.
I've seen at least 7 photographs, all taken on different occasions over the past couple of days, in which the two men are hugging, caressing a back or a face,
right,
clutching an arm.
Yeah, Mike's right. Look at the picture on the front of the Post.
Yeah.
Kerry is actually cupping Edwards' face
yes.
with his hand
yes.
the same way that Spider-Man does it to
right.
Mary Jane in the movie. I mean, it's definitely a man-woman thing, right?
there are even photos of them kissing. And a photo of knee rubbing, you know, where you reassure somebody or you put your hand on their knee.
Well, they're very, you know, it's the beginning of the campaign. Buzz.
Yes.
They're seeking comfort. You're
getting to know each other.
That's funny.
Quoting a photographer for one of the big wire services, I've been covering Washington and politics for 30 years. I can say I've never seen this much touching between two men publicly, end quote.
Ah, that's great.
Quoting a Kerry spokesperson, I think we're just seeing genuine affection, but I hope we don't see them wearing matching outfits when they ride bikes this weekend.
He's dreamy.
Yeah. Like a bicycle built for two.
He's dreamy, that senator from North Carolina.
Well, there's been an arrest in the triple murder at Sam Donaldson's ranch. Donaldson and his wife found the bodies of a man and two women on one of their 3 ranches near Roswell, New Mexico.
Did you say Donaldson found the bodies?
Yeah, he
yeah.
and his wife
oh,
did.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Well, they'd just gotten back from a trip to Santa Fe, and now a 14-year-old boy has been arrested for allegedly killing his father, stepmother, and stepsister.
Wow.
The father was the manager of the ranch where the shallow graves were found.
Shallow graves.
The boy is now in a juvenile facility. Michael Jackson's lawyers are asking the judge in that child molestation case to throw out the grand jury indictment.
This you should not do.
And this you should not do. You should not say he's an animal. He's a, should not say he's Jacko.
Jacko. Jacko. Jacko. I'm not Jacko.
Jacko's lawyers say the prosecution, which they call incompetent, bullied and argued with witnesses and, quote, ran the proceedings as if they employed the grand jurors.
This you should not do.
This you should not do. Bye.
Jacko.
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 And they will
Jacko.
Argue this claim in an upcoming hearing. Jackson's lawyers say the district attorney has been uncooperative and a bully.
This you should not do.
This you should not do. You shouldn't call me Jacko.
This you should not do. You should not say he's an animal. He's a, should not say he's Jacko.
And then he made love to Senator Frank Howard.
He's an animal.
Several people.
Animal.
Several,
Jacko.
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 Several folks were trampled in the first running of the bulls in Pamplona, Spain.
Don't they deserve it?
They deserve to be
really?
Bored.
None of the injuries were life-threatening, but over a dozen people have died in Spain's annual running of the bulls in the past 100 years. The last to do so was an American 9 years ago. But overcrowding has increased since then, increased the danger as men run as close as possible ahead of the 5 bulls without being gored.
You know, there's certain things that happen in our world mm-hmm. where I always say to myself, if an alien life form was to come down and land in Pamplona, Spain, and look at that. I mean, it is the dumbest thing I've ever... It's great to watch,
yeah.
but it is without question the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
You want to see it for real? Show up here tomorrow, 12 noon,
really?
Lunchtime, 3rd floor.
Really?
I'm telling you,
try to get out of the way of the people who are going up to the vending machines.
We got freebies coming in, too?
No, these are just people that just want the sticky buns out of the machines
just
upstairs.
Going up to, mm-hmm. But what about when they bring free chow in here?
Well. Watch out for those bulls.
Run for your lives.
Trampling of the idiots.
You know what it means when somebody gets hurt or killed in the running of the bulls. It's
what?
Thinning of the herd.
Yeah.
Among this year's runners, as Don mentioned earlier, former NBA bad boy Dennis Rodman.
Mm-hmm.
Now, before the running of the bulls, there was the running of the bears. Nearly bare-naked ladies and nearly bare-naked men have been running through the streets of Pamplona to protest the annual running of the bulls, which began yesterday. Their slogan, torture isn't culture. But that message may get lost.
Says who?
That message may get as lost as the G-strings the topless women have been wearing. The guys were in their jockeys. Quoting one observer, we're here to see the girls.
So they think that torture is the these people who choose.
They think it's cruel to the bulls.
How is it cruel to the bulls? The bulls.
Sometimes they wipe out.
Yeah.
You know, making them run through cobblestone streets.
And you know what that means?
What?
More steaks.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, they'll be a little tough, a little chewy.
Well,
aren't these bulls used for bullfighting? These come from a specific ranch, actually, and I guess they're pretty much raised for this purpose.
There was one that I was watching. What was his name again? God, he had a catchy name. Oh, he was Red.
Red Bull. He was the fastest.
He was on speed or something.
Yeah. Oh, never mind the cheating students. Hundreds of teachers have been caught cheating in California, trying to make the president's No Child Left Behind program.
Good heavens.
A success.
No.
Yes. A recent study caught 200 California teachers helping their students through the tough new standardized tests that are the heart of Mr. Bush's No Child Left Behind program. Under the program, schools that don't make the grade don't get as much federal funding. Teachers who've tried to protect their school's funding this way have been fired, and some have even been sent to jail. Here's one of the teachers now.
Lock that teacher up.
That's for sure. If your daughter is on her cell phone a lot, she may be a whore. That's the thinking behind a new study from the University of Oslo.
You're always going to have a table waiting for you.
We've moved the buttons with the computer. Okay. I'm looking for the tape that said she was a whore.
No whores in my restaurant.
No,
that's not it.
Where else would you rather be?
No, not that one.
Then right here.
Right now.
Right now.
There she was a whore.
Did we move it?
Oh, it's number 31. I'm sorry.
She was a whore.
There you go.
This is the thinking from a new study from the University of Oslo. The study found that teens who use cell phones are more likely to have had sex.
And Mike, what's today? It's today. Thursday?
Thursday night.
Uh-huh. Isn't Thursday night whores drink free at O'Hara's?
Absolutely. Yep.
Thanks. Look around, Cafe.
Come on out, whores drink free. You know, that might actually work.
Yeah.
Researchers surveyed more than 10,000 kids between the ages of 13 and 18. They say 60% of the frequent phoners had done the nasty, and that the 9% who didn't use their phone so much hadn't gotten much at all.
Are they Norwegian whores?
This study was done, in Oslo, Norway.
And what do they have out there? They have snow and sex.
Right.
Lots of Norwegian wood, though.
They're very good at both.
Hey.
That's a Beatles reference. I like that.
It sure is.
And the researchers say text messaging by cell phone is the biggest culprit in this. Another.
We have a new name for it.
Yes?
Tonight?
Yeah.
Free quartz for escorts. We're real excited about it.
I like that.
Thank you.
Another men's club down south has been ordered to admit women, but this time there's a twist. It's all about the naked dinners. The Louisiana Supreme Court has ruled that this Southern Trace Country Club in Shreveport has to admit women to its men's grill that's held in one of the club's three restaurants every Sunday. The club argued against that, saying often the men will dine there in the nude or perhaps in just a towel.
Gross. Nothing will make those baby back grills better than sitting next to a big, fat, naked guy.
That is disgusting.
Jesus.
More clams.
They ought to get, don't worry about the women. Get the law involved. The guys can't eat naked.
It's a private club.
Where's my calamari?
Oh,
there it is.
Oh,
hi, I'm at this restaurant and I'll have some more, please.
The hottest tasting vinaigrette.
Yeah, the nude guys eating their lunch. If they don't finish, they say, just put it in a sack.
They got to get super syphilis. Well, we better bag this bit. It's driving me nuts.
The the court rejected the club's argument about the nude dinners, saying that the club's own rules prohibit nude dining. The club has tucked its towel between its legs and says it'll obey the court's ruling.
Hey, Lenny, we got any crab balls?
Oh.
DJs are still stupid. In Austin, Texas, the police have arrested a local DJ for buying a pack of gum at a convenience store.
Yeah, baby, why? What was so stupid about me doing that, Buzz?
Well, I'm glad you asked, Don. He did this while wearing a ski mask pulled down over his face in the middle of the summer. The stunt had the intended effect. It frightened the store clerk.
How you doing?
Hey, I'm going to go in and buy a pack of gum, but I'm going to dress like a bank robber.
What the DJ didn't noodle through was that the frightened clerk would then call police. And the police would then charge the DJ with making a terroristic threat.
Jerry Todd.
The station has suspended the DJ.
Moron.
And hold on, here is a tape of that DJ.
That's video from Tom Monroe and his tribute to life in the big city. Downtown's the place to be. From Tom's disc entitled Tom Monroe Sings Petula Clark. Little help from Mike McDonald and the Doobies on that one. On the Jerry Todd Show, nice to be with you. Whoops, we got the wrong super up there. Let's try that. On the Jerry Todd Show, there we are. Good morning in the wee small ones of a Saturday morning. We've got some fine video for you and a little chat and hopefully lots of fun. And we'll have some more video for you, but first, let's pay some of those bills.
I watched the Jerry Todd Show.
Jerry Todd.
How are you anyway? Jerry Todd with you. Glad you're along for the ride. Maybe you're at home this morning, or at work, or just around about anywhere enjoying the fine video. Meantime, let's look after some business. We provide this as kind of a public service of the Jerry Todd Show. It's from the community chest. And it's a lost dog announcement. If you're in the vicinity of Ellesmere and Morningside, be on the lookout for a little lost doggy. If you're in the vicinity, meantime, keep your eyes open for the little doggy, and we'll see what we can do. Meantime, on the Jerry Todd Show, whoops, that's the second time we've done that this morning. On the Jerry Todd Show, nice to be with you. Let's see if we can get a different color on that this morning. These are called supers, you see, because they're in front of the picture. Let's see what we can come up with here. That's kind of nice. I like that. On the Jerry Todd Show, nice to be with you.
That is great.
Shannon in the morning.
Well, judging from the newspaper accounts, Sacramento, California has a bunch of horny firemen.
Oh, Buzz?
Yes,
Jerry Todd.
We got a break. Let's tease with that.
Let's make
come
that
back.
A tease.
So the tease is
that California in Sacramento, a bunch of horny firemen.
Hey. Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
Words are hard for them. Don and Mike.
Oh, hi. Listen, tomorrow on the show, the latest losers from The Amazing Race.
Yeah.
And we'll have the Friday favorite with Jeff Hardy tomorrow. We don't have touchstones here, so I'll just go. Call now, you animals.
Oh, you got them? Thank you, Robbie.
And there they are. Call 100. We'll get the WWE Vengeance prize pack. WWE Vengeance live this Sunday, July 11th. On in-demand pay-per-view, get it in your home on Comcast or Cox Cable System. Now to order, digital customers, use your digital remote. We'll give you the pay-per-view right now if you are the 100th caller at 877-365-3636.
Excellent.
For the WWE Vengeance. And now here is Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Donna, Mike. Judging from the newspaper accounts, at least, Sacramento, California does have some horny firemen. They made news recently by attending a porn star costume ball while on duty. Now, the Sacramento Bee reports that just a few days before that, an investigation was launched into reports that some firemen were using their equipment to pick up babes.
Their hoses.
The report says the firemen cruised the bars and dance clubs in their fire trucks, offering joy rides to women.
You want to ride on my hook and ladder?
And now,
baby,
a 24-year-old woman says she was sexually assaulted by an off-duty firefighter outside the hotel where the porn star event was held.
Hi, baby.
How does that happen?
Seven firemen and a captain have been put on administrative leave.
Put that fire out.
Over the last couple of years, there's been a rash of reports about strip searches at fast food restaurants across America. It went like this. A man claiming to be a cop calls the restaurant and convinces the manager there's a thief in his midst.
Hold the pickle.
The alleged thief is always a young woman.
The dumb but eager to please manager then, acting on the caller's instructions, conducts a strip search of the employee. Lawsuits generally follow at that point. Now, police believe they have the one man responsible for all those calls all over the country.
This is Larry Michael, Westwood One, Notre Dame Radio.
No. They've arrested a 38-year-old Florida corrections officer named Dave Stewart. He's now facing charges.
The guy from the Arithmetic?
No, different Dave
Stewart. The guy who pitched for the Oakland A's?
No, not the same guy. This guy's a corrections officer, and he's now facing charges in Massachusetts, Indiana, Arizona, Utah, Kentucky, Iowa, Florida, Maine, and Ohio.
Wow.
He's been busy.
Well, you know, he's also worried about his sister. Martha.
Martha Stewart.
Martha Stewart.
Oh, yeah, she was denied a new trial today, too.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man, well, knock on wood.
Well, maybe she did, maybe she didn't, but a Massachusetts woman...
That was just for you.
A Massachusetts woman says she found...
That'd be Amy Stewart.
Knock on wood, I get jokes.
Knock, knock, knock on wood.
And don't forget her other brother, Jackie.
Yeah, the race car driver.
Jackie Stewart.
A Massachusetts woman says she found a toad in her McDonald's salad.
Mm.
She also says she's upset that 2 weeks have gone by and she still hasn't gotten a response from McDonald's. The restaurant and the health department say they are investigating, but quoting the woman, I was sick. What if I had salmonella poisoning? Did anybody call? She has not contacted a lawyer yet. Dwarves are gathering in California for an annual convention.
How you doing, Midge?
1,800 of them will meet in Burlington, and it's no secret many of them will be looking for love. But 4-foot-tall Bill Bradford, speaking for the group Little People of America, says it'll be good, clean fun. Quoting him, it's not a Greek orgy or something.
It's really big this year. They've gotten 3 hotel rooms.
Let me thank Steve Hardesty from Washington, D.C., caller 100. Got the WWE pay-per-view. We'll blow out about 10 of those on tomorrow's show.
Scott's coming down here and kicking your butt.
Scotty the Dwarf.
Scotty the Dwarf.
And tomorrow when we have the people on from The Amazing Race, mm-hmm. the guys that just got kicked off, the girlfriend and boyfriend, we will spend a lot of time...
Talking about the dwarf.
Talking about the little person.
Right. You're dying to say it, aren't you?
Yeah, the... little person. The...
Jerry Todd.
The midget.
Oh, there it is. Britney Spears, worth over $100 million, on paper at least, has decided not to ask her fiancé for a prenuptial agreement.
Oh, my God.
That's because she's scary smart.
She is the dumbest. This means if they divorce in California, he could get half of that $100 million. But Britney says they're in love, and that's all that matters.
Mm-hmm.
After all, she's already paid for her own wedding ring, a 5-carat job worth $40,000, and she's already put fiancé and dancer Kevin Federline on permanent payroll.
Okay, silly dilly dokio. I'm an idiot. Yeah, that's true.
You know, I read it in one of the tabloids that the only thing that dude has in his apartment
yep.
is a big screen TV and
yep.
a sex chair.
Right.
That's all a young man needs, really.
There you go.
The Star tabloid you were reading says Britney's dad begged her to consider a prenup before marrying a guy who has, as you read, no real money of his own. The couple plans to wed in November.
Sex chair.
Golf machine. It's for Rob's dad. If you're listening, Bob.
Golf machine.
Sex chair.
Golf machine. It's got wheels.
Finally, what all the girls in Nepal are wearing this summer is nothing.
Oh.
They're doing it.
Yeah.
They're doing it to improve the crops. They're naked while they're out plowing the fields. They chant, "Oh God, send us plenty of rain." It's an ancient tradition that had been abandoned, but was dug up in time for the latest drought.
Hello.
So, how's your garden doing? I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
You're crazy, Buzz.
You're crazy.
That's fair.
I like you.
I get it. How does your garden grow? Oh, hold on. Is it going to play our goodbye song? There it is. Ah, good night, everybody. Good night. Well, the computer didn't ruin the show today.
I thought it was a fine show.
And we want to thank Stan Lee, the guy who I will be driving to California tonight and forcing myself on.
Daddy.
Daddy. From Marvel Comics. Also, our thanks to Chuck Barris.
Very nice.
Who has his new book coming out, yeah. Something About the Grass.
That grass never dies.
That's it. We'll have him on as soon as somebody reads the book to me. And yeah, Charles Barris. Thank you, Rob. Charles Barris.
Yeah.
Tomorrow on the show, like I said, the girls from The Amazing Race. Mm-hmm. Or the girl and the guy from The Amazing Race. And the brand new low-budget Jeopardy. Oh, and a trip down the DJ. memory book tomorrow.
Good.
All of that with a new episode. We'll see you then.
Good night.
Thank you for listening. Good day to you, sir.
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 Hey, Charlie, eat this ice cream.
In Washington, Baltimore, and Tampa Bay, stand by for our friends Ron and Fez. Mm-hmm. Everywhere else, I'm sure it's something fantastic like Get the Lead Out.
Amen.
That's it. We'll see you tomorrow with a new episode.
Pick your limp.
And, well, the door is just not, it's not a computer problem.
It's a digital door.
This is machine number 6.
There it is.
You got it digitally?
I do, as a matter of fact.
Can you pull it up?
Only take a minute.
Here we go. And door.
Yep.
Hey, bye, everybody. Hey,
eat a lot.
Till we meet again. This is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.